Hey, what up? Welcome to the Chelsea Skidmore Show. I'm so excited for today's episode. I have my husband, Stephen Randolph, on with comedian actor Skylar Stone. And this is my second special pregnancy episode. The first one I had was, I think, two episodes ago with Esther Steinberg, and she told me about her experience with pregnancy. And I wanted to have a male guest on to give his point of view of what it was like when his wife was pregnant and what it was like raising his twins. And Skylar's fucking crazy. He gets into a lot of interesting stories during that time, like having a restraining order on him, being in rehab and being roommates with Andy Dick, and some complications that happened along the way with their pregnancy, surgeries that had to happen. Everything is okay with their kids, but it was really interesting and great to hear his honest perspective about what his experience was like. So I'm so grateful that he came on. And I also wanted Stephen to get some advice on how he could best support me while I'm pregnant, very selfishly. And he's doing a great job. He is. Like, he's waiting on me hand and foot, and when he is tuned into me needing it. And I love it. Like, last night, this is so weird, but my boobs were on fire last night, I guess because of the blood flow, where they're making milk or something. And I took my boobs temperature and it was 99.9, but my forehead was 97.9. So Stephen was very concerned. They were very hot to the touch, and he got a cold frozen washcloth and put it on my boobs and was fanning them. And see, that's the kind of stuff that I just want in my husband while I'm pregnant. I'm 21 weeks currently. We had the 20-week ultrasound, and it was so amazing. And we saw her, it's a girl, we saw her sucking her thumb and kicking. And now I feel the kicks and movements every day, which is really cool, because it didn't happen really, I feel like, like where I can consciously be like, oh, that's the baby moving. Before I was like, I think I feel something. But then after you watch the ultrasound and see her kicking, you're like, oh, okay, she's kicking. So super cool to have that. And I'm really excited for this episode. And we have a couple of amazing sponsors for this episode that are all baby related that I want to tell you about. There's some great codes, so be sure to listen and use the codes at the checkout on the websites. I'll tell you all about it in a second. But enjoy this week's episode with Stephen Randolph and Skylar Stone. But first, this episode is sponsored by Parasol. Parasol is a diaper delivery service for natural diapers with no chemicals at an amazing value of $84 for a VIP membership box, which gets you 4 free packs of wipes in every delivery. Their natural super breathable diapers prevents the incidence of diaper rash with super cute prints and are extremely soft. They're so cute. I love them. They're super breathable to let your baby skin literally breathe and provide them comfort. They are also super flexible to contour to your baby right where it is needed to prevent leaks and blowouts, which I'm hearing all about from all my friends. So I'm happy that I have, I got the first month of the Parasol diapers because I had heard about them. They're so cute. They caught my eye on Instagram, and they have really adorable little prints. And I just love the fact that they're soft and very high-end feeling. So I'm super excited to hopefully prevent these leaks and blowouts I hear about. So go to parasol.com. That's parasolco.com. Use code Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, to get 20% off your first box for all new subscriptions. And Parasol Co. offers no rash guarantee. So if you don't love the diapers, you can return them for a refund, no questions asked. So check out parasol.com and use the code Chelsea to save 20% off on your first box. I wanted to give a shout out on a brand that I love, Baby Bjorn. So as I'm preparing for my baby's arrival, you know, she'll be here in 4 months. I'm working on my registry. I've been searching for the perfect carrier and bouncer. Literally all my girlfriends have recommended that I get the Baby Bjorn Carrier 1 and Bouncer Bliss. So I was looking on their website. I found a super cute denim baby carrier by Baby Bjorn that both my husband and I can wear since it's adjustable. So it's perfect for when we go on walks with our baby around the neighborhood, as a sturdy waist belt and padded shoulder straps to relieve the pressure on your back and shoulders. And it's also machine washable, which I love. So I got that. I also got the Baby Bjorn Bouncer Bliss in leopard, which is so cute. Oh my God, you have to look it up. The leopard print, it's like adorable. I like prints, and I don't want anything that's plain or boring. So I'm happy that they have a lot of different fabrics and prints and options. And the Bouncer Bliss is a cozy place for your baby to play or rest while you shower, unload the dishwasher, make dinner, do laundry, whatever you have to do. It's easy to move around the house and take with you from room to room. And it's powered by baby, which means the natural rocking of the bouncer is powered by baby's own movements. No batteries needed. So as your baby grows and learns how to control the rocking, the bouncer becomes even more fun and stimulates your baby's balance and motor skills. So if you're planning your registry or want to update your baby gear, check out the Baby Carrier 1 and Bouncer Bliss, both by Baby Bjorn. So I have been obsessed with finding the perfect pair of chic pajamas around the holidays. And for this winter, I was envisioning me pregnant in a pair of pink, luxurious silk pajamas, and found that not only does Kip make these, but they're also machine washable, which is amazing because they're silk, so I don't have to worry about dry cleaning. Because honestly, like when I have silk pajamas and I have to dry clean them, I never do it. So then I only wear them like once, but now I know I can wear these multiple times a week and be clean and hot. And like, I just love the idea of like me pregnant in pink silk. It's just, it's really hot. So, oh, and they also make Mommy and Me pajamas, which I already pre-ordered because I just couldn't help myself. I got soft rose, and they're these super cute pink rompers. So check them out, because they also make a great holiday gift, which is why I wanted to tell you about them. For all the guys listening, make sure to get them for your wife and baby because they're super cute. So Kip is on a mission to encourage women to invest in rest with their line of premium sleepwear. With their high quality fabrics, including buttery soft 100% cotton and pure mulberry silk, chic yet comfortable silhouettes, they've thoughtfully considered every detail of their pajamas to bring you a perfect night's sleep. Kip also offers complimentary monogramming on all of their pajamas, which makes such a great personalized gift for a new or expecting mom, a bride-to-be, or anyone who could use an extra dose of comfort. To encourage you to invest in rest, Kip is offering an exclusive 25% off your entire order with code CHELSEA at checkout. So go to sleepinkip.com to indulge in a chic sleep. sleepinkip.com with code CHELSEA at checkout for 25% off. All right, let's get to the episode with Stephen Randolph and Skylar Stone.
Completely forgivable.
Can you imagine if you would put that into crypto?
I know, right?
$1,000 of Shiba in January, $500 million today.
Wait, one more time.
$1,000 of Shiba Inu. If you put just $1,000 in, it's worth $500 million now. Some guy put in $8,000, and he has $5 billion, and they can't find him. He has it on Coinbase somewhere. It's the biggest transaction.
Yeah, they can't find him because he's been killed, and someone's trying to fucking
100%. Oh, something's up.
Do you do crypto?
No, I don't. I
love it.
But that doesn't mean that I wouldn't. I take forever to join anything. Like, I just started
really?
Making a couple TikToks. I was like one of the last comics to go, all right, I guess I'll do Twitter. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I never jump on ahead of time. I don't have any delay in me where I'm like, oh, I should get on this app before everybody. I don't even think that way. I just don't.
You miss Vine.
I miss Vine, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm holding out.
It'll come back.
That's what Instagram became, right?
I think so.
Vine.
I feel like Snapchat want it to be what Insta Stories is now, if that makes sense.
Or Reels.
Snapchat is for high
Reels
school
is great.
Kids. TikTok for me and Snapchat, they're too juvenile. It's too like high school.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching a lot of comics, like they're changing how they act because they're like trying to connect with Gen Z. And like, by the way, Gen Z doesn't like, I mean, I have two Gen Z kids in my house.
Yeah.
They don't like it when you're like, you know, hey man, Travis Scott, right guys? Like they'd rather you just be like, horrible. I like Radiohead. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's when people try to act super, super young.
It's really sad.
You're a dare counselor.
Some guy changed my life. I met him at the beach. There's this old guy that would surf and he was bronze and tan. And I was like, he's a good looking guy. And everybody was like, his name was Al, and he was just this old surfer guy.
Oh, for a second, I thought that's how you were introducing me, but go ahead, go ahead.
Oh!
I'm like, wow, this is a good intro.
And his name is Skyler!
And he's standing right next to me. But he goes, Steve, I want to tell you something. He goes, age gracefully, don't fight it, just go with it. And I was like, that's all I needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting it? Hey, guys, I'm still got it. Like, yeah. Oh.
It's gross.
Oh.
You know who's a good example? Even when Nicholson has put on weight, women are like, he's so sexy to me.
Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, because he just is
He's just him, 100%.
You know?
He's
even Clooney didn't fight the salt and pepper beard.
But he's such a different looking person than Jack Nicholson.
Who?
George Clooney.
Yeah, that was a weird segue there. Yeah,
he's,
I know.
He's an anomaly.
I thought of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
100%.
Aging.
Yeah.
When you said Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Because they both got fuller faces.
Yeah.
And the facial
They seem
hair.
Happy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like they got their money and they're like, I like crab. I like drawn butter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Love crab and drawn butter.
Yeah, what are we doing? Let's just go get that right now.
Okay, so thank you so much, Skylar, for coming on the episode. Yeah. And we were like, who do we know that are parents? You have two
good
boys.
Parents.
What's the name of the show again?
The
show. Oh, sorry.
You have two twin boys.
I do.
No girls.
By the way, I love you. Everyone does that. You have two twin boys. It's very redundant. It's
you don't have one twin boy.
Yeah.
You're
not a couple duo. You're a couple.
You have twin boys.
Oh.
You said two twin boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that. Right?
Do you get that a lot?
All the time.
I never even thought about that.
Are they two twins? No, they're actually just twins. If we had two twins, that'd be quadruplets. You know, like
I posted a comedy video of me in Utah the other day, and some girl that I knew goes, "Oh my god, such a funny video! I live in Utah. Are you still doing stand up?" I don't want to be negative anymore in my life, but I'm like, bitch, you're commenting on a stand up video with current events, talking about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Like, it's a current events video from your city that you're commenting on.
Yeah.
No, I don't anymore. No, I stopped doing it. Like, what the fuck? I was like, looked at it. I was like, don't be mean. No need to even say something funny.
People do
She's
love
so
to
sweet.
Humble you, though. Like, I still once in a while get a friend back home going, you still doing stand up? I'm like, wow.
You still doing your thing?
Wow.
You know what bothers me is the messages that go, keep going. It's like, when was I stopping?
She gets that a lot.
I get that all the time.
As a female,
that
reminds me of your joke. My favorite joke of yours, that I think about it a lot, is when you're like,
did just that?
What?
Every man who's ever said to me, I want to fuck you so badly, did just that.
Nope.
I don't know why I thought that.
No. My favorite joke is when you go, my husband, like, tells me, like, yeah, suck that dick. What the fuck do you think I'm doing?
Like, oh, yeah, your dick is learned. Yeah. I always forget, like, there's so many jokes I forget that I have. And then people are like, oh, I love that joke of you. And I'm like, joke of yours. I can't
back.
Even, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even know how to finish it.
She gets something that, like being a comic that's female is, like, a lot of times guys will try to coach her that aren't even as good
course.
As her.
Yeah.
That'll be like, hey, man, like, saw that, you're getting better. And she just hates it.
No, these are people from my high school who I haven't talked to in 10, 12 years. And they're like, hey, saw you doing stand-up. Like, keep going. Like, don't stop. Like just keep going.
Someone put on my last video, you're getting so much better. I just deleted it.
Yeah.
Just delete. I don't need that on my delete.
You're like, hitting up
block.
Your friends back home. You're like, keep plumbing. No, you're doing, like, the whole city's almost plumbed because of you.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah.
Or
every
you've
toilet
grown
almost works.
So much.
Yeah.
You've grown so much.
Yeah.
You've really
like,
grown into your...
Yeah.
I don't, it doesn't feel like a compliment.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's a way to just jab a little bit.
Yeah.
Unconsciously. They can't
John
just give
Benitez,
it to you.
Yeah.
Harvell's.
Who?
I'm doing Harvell's.
Exactly.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. This is club.
Oh, I know Harvell's.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the blues place in the...
There's one in Santa Monica and one in Long Beach.
Okay.
We do the one in Long Beach.
The one in Santa Monica, if you go on the right night... You literally feel like, did you ever see that HBO movie, Lackawanna Blues?
No.
I love all kinds of music, but it's like old, like Big Joe Turner type music. What is that?
Showtime? Ragtimes?
That, it's kind of, it's not really ragtime.
Show tunes?
It's not swing. It's not blues.
Foley?
She wore dungarees, red jacket, shirt. My boogie woogie boogie. Oh, boogie woogie, that's what it's called.
That's
boogie,
what it's called.
Boogie, boogie. I don't know.
My
that
boogie
genre.
Boogie woogie. Country girl. You know what I mean?
What area is that from? What years?
Oh, geez. You'd have to go 50s. Yeah.
Okay.
50s. I love 50s. I'm like a Chuck Berry obsessed.
Have you seen the video of him or heard the video of him pissing on the girl's face?
I've tried to track down.
Have you?
It that is. You seen it?
I just saw something on Instagram. It's like him receiving an award, and he's like, I am humbled to be here. And it's like, oh, you can get the audio of Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
One of the best guitarists of all. He's pissing on some prostitute's face.
No, he is the best
face.
Of all time.
Is he? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pissing on some prostitute's face, and it's audio of him doing it. And he's like, drink every last drop of that.
Ew.
And then he's like, and then at the end, she asks him for a kiss. He's like, you got piss all over your face. I don't want to do that. It's like this.
Wait, tell him what you said to that one girl. Eat it, little doggy.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you do?
Wait, you know what we saw on the way here?
What?
A duck.
No.
Call back.
Wait, what? Tell,
I'm a comic.
Tell him what you saw in front of Leo's taco truck.
Oh, there's just a guy spreading his asshole wide open onto Sunset and just taking a shit. Just but spread his ass like you.
I heard
porn.
Swartzen was drinking a lot these days.
Oh,
yeah. And then I said, should we turn around? Because I wanted to see.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Why would
clean
you
asshole?
See that?
It was a homeless guy with a clean asshole.
That's the best part of the story. It was a clean asshole.
It was a clean asshole, squeaky clean
my
asshole.
My first thought wasn't ew. It was should I turn around?
I know. I like seeing weird shit like that. Yeah. I see a naked person every time I pass through Hollywood now, smoking speed. I bumped into a guy coming out of a massage parlor, legit massage parlor. And I bumped into him and he was smoking speed and I apologized. I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And he was like, "Yeah, it's cool." And I was like, "Oh my god." Like that's you just openly smoke speed, do drugs,
but
and steal.
I love that you apologized to him.
Yeah, he was sitting on the steps, and I bumped into him.
It's like bumping into a guy that's like in the middle of a robbery. I'm so sorry. Let me help you back up.
Yeah,
the gun was
it
in
used
his hand.
To be in the 90s.
All right, now you're go ahead.
What you were doing was wrong. Like smoking speed was a bad thing. Yeah. But now it's like I was in his way.
So now it's kind of part of like you know it's part of the pandemic. It's like hey man, this guy's just trying to get by.
Yeah.
Before we get into the parenting stuff, I only got three people who responded to the Q&A.
Okay.
And
well, I am huge, so I'm not surprised.
They're all
yeah. She didn't need to say
international,
that.
Right?
She didn't need to say that. She could have just said three
couple,
questions and then moved on to it.
So
she had to let you know.
Wow,
I fucked up,
Chelsea.
There was only three people.
Kyler, last week, like there were like 19 people for Brett.
Yeah, I
want to
bring
you
in,
guy,
build your confidence up, and I'm gonna bring it down right before I'm offering you questions.
And that setup didn't even help the questions because they're awful.
Yeah,
you'd ask them.
I would ask one of them. Okay.
Chelsea has a Chelsea.
You took a deep breath.
I said this before we started recording, but Chelsea,
she's negging you.
Talks,
she's negging you. Well, it's something
no,
weird.
I'm not.
She made me realize that like millennials and Gen Z move quick, and like you better like stay relevant. Because I remember when I started here at the store promoting shows, and Chelsea was working in the OR. I would talk to Chelsea sometimes, and I'd be like, you know, so and so, and she's like, who's that? And in my world, that person's so big, but she was literally like, I have no idea who you're talking about. And
isn't
I'm
that
like,
funny?
And it was like, I'm like, Johnny Carson? She's like, no,
no,
not even
I know
a fucking,
Johnny Carson.
I'm kidding. I'm not saying you're dumb. Yeah. I'm exaggerating because I do remember more than once going like, wow, man, you really gotta like, you gotta keep going, or Chelsea Skidmore doesn't know who you are.
I'm like, how many TikTok followers do they have?
You know the guy that says Dynamite. What was his name?
Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker, yeah, right? Yeah. Like Jimmy Walker. I'm Dynamite. I mean, he made it into Beastie Boys songs. Huge. Yeah. He was at the back door here when they were shooting a special, maybe probably the Showtime special or whatever they did, and he couldn't get in. And the girl sitting outside was like, I don't know who the fuck you are. Sorry.
Oh, man.
He's like, I'm here for an interview, and I was like. Oh my God. So it just, he was Jimmy Walker.
No, tell him about who Feng Chao wouldn't let in.
Oh, this is the best one I've ever heard.
Oh, man.
I'm sitting out in the patio.
I'm already going to love this.
And Aretha Franklin comes in and he goes, ID, please. And she goes, I'm Aretha Franklin.
You know, she should have just belted something out like, R-E-S-P-E-C. Oh, shit, right away.
Also, you know, how old would she have been now? 80? 75?
Oh, God. Like, a woman like that's not trying to sneak in.
No!
She's probably supposed to be here.
Yeah.
But you don't need to
be. It's either Craig Robinson's aunt or Aretha Franklin.
He goes, I don't give a fuck who you are. And
no
she goes, tell on your microphone that Aretha Franklin's here and Jody, the old manager here, came screaming around the corner pouring sweat like, Feng Chao, she's... of age, and she is totally allowed to come enjoy comedy here. Miss Franklin, I am so sorry.
I would have been like, you know, he only speaks Mandarin. I'm sorry.
He didn't give a shit. He's from China. He didn't give a fucking shit. But it's so that was so funny. Okay, here's a question we have from Seattle. Skylar, what is it like being a DILF? Every time I see you, blood rushes to my tip.
And I just want to say, I clicked on the guy's profile who wrote that, and I would have not, and he's a full-on family man, I would not have expected him to write that.
So wait, so that's a dad I'd like to fuck, right?
Yeah.
At but first I was like, oh my God, is that making fun of me? I didn't know right away.
No, this is like a secret thing that had for you, a secret crush. And you would not guess that he did.
Let me read it one more time so you could take it in. Skylar, what's it like being a DILF? That's a dad I'd like to fuck. Wow. Every time I see you, blood rushes to my tip.
Wow.
So he wants to know what it's like being a DILF.
I feel like I've had it, like, I haven't had a lot of actual, like, out gay gentlemen want me, but I feel I have felt the energy of straight guys that I felt like wanted to hook up with me before. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
I've had about three times in my life that I remember, like, a straight guy, like, I'm like, I think this person's vibing me. Like,
wow.
Like dick checking me almost. Like, you in? Because I sometimes do this.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know?
It's flattering.
Do you get that with mothers at school?
Nicole says this all the time. She'll be like, we were hanging out with some moms just on Halloween. And I'm not saying any of these women want to fuck me, but she said, like, I'm really involved with Carter and Hudson. Like, I really get down. I love playing with them. I love taking pictures. I love taking videos. And she said she hears moms a lot go, like, does he always take pictures like that? Does he always take videos? Does he have, like, always have this many inside jokes with him? And, like, so I get this idea that there are some dads that just, like, are
checked out.
A classic, like, aloof dad. Just like, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, I'm just not that guy. But my dad wasn't that guy, so that's probably why I'm not that guy. You know what I mean?
And that's attractive. So you're, you know, bringing it back to the DILF thing. Those women that were saying that were probably like, huh, that's sexy. Something about that.
I
sexy.
Think they're at least going like, oh, like, you know. And again, like, not there's nothing wrong with these dads. I just think they were surprised that, like, I was acting more like the mom. I was the one.
You're very proud of your kids. You sent me so many videos.
Together. I put them all together. I go, hey guys, it was like six kids trick or treating. I got them in positions. I'm like, no, one more time. And I was making them laugh. And I guess they're saying, like, that's usually something that a mom would do. Like, a mom would go, we got to document the night. I'm like, well, I'm a comic too, so I'm used to documenting everything.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
So
I love taking pictures for other people on stage. It's fun.
Yeah.
I like doing that because it means something.
Yeah.
That's like when we hung out with our friends Alex and Ruben, and he was taking so many pictures and video of me and Alex with Isla, and I was like, wow, he's like on it.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I took notice of that because I do feel like a lot of guys are like, I don't want to take a fucking picture. But I guess when it at least has your kids, like, that's...
I'm good at taking pictures.
Something separate. You're not great. I love you.
Wait.
Maybe you don't get her best angle. Do you work on
that? No, he doesn't get my best angle. That's it. Thank you for
coming
in.
I'm not great at taking pictures.
No, it's the angle because remember
how you're not giving me a lot to work with these days.
Well, like, if I go through her phone, you've got ones like this where she's like
Chelsea doesn't bring it.
No, I'm not an automatically photogenic people. People think I am, but I'm not. Steven is the kind of person who looks good at every angle. He has no problem. You can turn the camera on to him.
Oh, you're lucky.
You've
kept like a jawline and stuff. You're good.
It comes and goes.
Yeah.
Just looks good.
You're a fluctuator
photo.
Like me. You.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. By 40 pounds.
Yeah.
By 40 pounds. I could be 205 or 165. And people go, oh, my God, you look greater. Damn, getting puffy.
I hope I can ask you this.
Sure.
You said some comic said, you know, hey, man. You need to get in shape. Like, Chelsea's a beautiful woman. Who said that to you? And then
Richie.
What? No, some comic, Richie. The
was
comedy
it Richie?
Store. The manager of the comedy store.
I remember, like, he looked great. That? I go, why? You look so great. He's like, dude, someone said, like, you know.
You're not famous. You're not famous
like,
yet. You know,
Chelsea's a beautiful woman. Like, you know, you better. And that got in my head because my wife's pretty. I'm like, yeah, I should probably get back in shape too.
If I'm 7 pounds over, Richie notices. Richie's like, man, 7 pounds over. I'm like, that's exactly what I am.
What did Richie, the manager of the comedy store, say when he saw me at the door?
Right now, yeah.
When I got here, what did the fuck? He made fun of me for being fat.
Yeah.
He goes, hey, here's Skylar. You think he's going to fit through the door?
Oh my God.
Good to see you. First time since the pandemic.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's so funny. I didn't notice that. I guess that's the thing that guys do. Girls could never do that.
Girls say it behind their back. Yeah. Girls think it and say it behind their back. We say it to the face. I never comment on people's. I don't really care unless.
Which one's worse though? Like, is it worse to be the guys?
It's worse behind your back.
Behind the back. When I'm in Zoom AA meetings or 12-step meetings.
Thank you.
A girl will be
AAA.
Like,
you work for AAA now.
Yeah.
Employee meetings.
Yeah. Like, girls will text how the girls look, and even on Zoom, and they're like, "Wow, she looks like so swollen." swollen and like, oh, really puffy. A friend of mine saw another friend and she goes, I was like, oh, did you see blank at the party? And she goes, yeah, but her face was so puffy, like a lot of work done.
Dude, girls are relentless.
Women's worst. It, you know, there's a lot of guy shaming or guy, like, guys are the problem. They, you know, as somebody who's married to a woman, had a sister, women are ferocious with each other. We don't 1,000%. We don't do that to women. I don't tear down women. We don't, like, women are women's biggest. They just shred each other. And
I also think it's funny that, like, girls think that we always talk about the grossest like, you know, like, although you and I did have a
gross conversation.
We had big sex talk once outside of meeting.
yeah. But we're
fucking degenerates
stuff.
And addicts. That's different.
Yeah.
But like guys don't, it's not like the movies. We don't sit together and go, did you hook up with Cindy Pasterson?
No.
You know, like, did you bend her over? Like we don't.
That's not like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like that.
No.
So how old are your kids? I was
going to say 17, 15, 17-year-old girl, 15-year-old boy, and then 6-year-old twins.
Oh, I didn't know that you had two older
stepkids. Yeah.
Oh, stepkids. Okay.
I feel like you know about Jaden. He's in almost every video of mine.
Oh, I've met him. I met him at your show.
You're like, he's just going to go to his head if you see it. But you're like, he should do modeling.
He's going to be a looker. I did say that. Yeah, he was gorgeous.
She's trying to hook up with my 15-year-old.
And I thought, what if I
said that to your 15-year-old daughter? If I'm like, she's gorgeous. She should go into modeling.
It's so fucked up.
Can you imagine if I said that? If I said that at a comedy show?
Can't
and someone
it.
Got that on film?
Yeah, no.
You're gorgeous, babe. You should go into modeling.
It's insane. Know? Like, and I have.
I forgot I said that.
I'm part of the sexist thing, too, because, like, if I hear about any male teacher that, like, waited till a girl turned 18 and groomed her, I want to kill him. Mm. But the second I hear about a female teacher who, like, a 6-year-old dude, I'm like, where was that teacher when I was 16?
That's different. Yeah.
It's weird.
There was an art teacher that was fucking students at our school. And we kind of knew about it, but...
You knew because you're one of them.
No. Oh. No, she had coffee breath, which I probably have these days. I remember... Oh, fuck, I almost said her name, but she had
really could become what we
breath.
Hate. I've always said...
But that's how close she was to you.
Yeah, she had coffee breath.
For you to be able to smell her breath.
I would say...
We become what we hate. Do I have coffee breath?
Did you say yourself? No, I just meant, like, I know for a fact my whole life, I'm like... My dad would lean over. We went to, like, an Episcopalian church, and if we were acting up, he'd lean over and go, "Scrubs, knock it off."
And it smelled like Folgers.
It was just all Folgers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, I never want to have that breath.
Folgers
and
cheese.
And now in the
morning,
Carter Hudson will climb on me. "Daddy, I love you." I'll kiss him. Like, "Oh, Daddy, did you eat fish last night?" And I did it. I'm like, what is dying in my mouth? It smells
my
like
God.
Fish.
That's
I'm
so
like,
funny.
I had a taco. It wasn't even a fish one.
Oh, you know, like, my God. Something's rotting in my mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
So how long have you and Nicole been married?
Been married... we just found out our anniversary. We've been celebrating the wrong anniversary day for 7 years. We don't really know how this happened other than the fact that we had big plans to get married in, like, Cabo and do this big thing with a bunch of people. And we went down and we checked out the place. Oh, dude, and by the way, they don't mess around. When they're trying to close a deal on you, they've got this one, the guy's like, we have this one package where you you look out at in the sea, and for every minute you want fireworks, it's $2,000.
What?
And I'm like, what? He's like, so, like, if you want 5 minutes of explosions, it's $10,000. And, like, I'm on drugs back then. I'm like, done. We'll do the $10,000 firework package.
That's so expensive.
But no, these were like
fireworks.
I actually thought they'd be bad ones, and they showed them. Like it was a wedding.
Well, they
on.
Know how to do it.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, dude, that's really good. But wait, why the fuck was I talking about that? What the hell?
Because
you don't know the right anniversary date.
Yes, thank you. So that time our lives was crazy, and we had a big custody battle going on with her ex. And because of that, it really messed with our dates, and because of, like, you know, what days we had the stepkids, and, you know, we wanted them there. So it would take so long to explain, but the long story short is we had to announce a wedding on a Friday, and I'm not even kidding, that we were getting married in 2 days on a Sunday. And so we did an evite. That's how we invited people to our wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so we invited about, like, I think 28 people, and like 21 were able to come. I mean, literally,
wow.
I was like, dude, we got down-ass friends.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Within 48 hours, you know what I mean? I'll give you guys a month's notice on my kid's birthday party. And Chelsea Day, I was like, oh, my God, I didn't even know about
you
it.
You didn't tell me.
I put a picture on the wall, on your e-wall, and you didn't even see it.
Wait, what did you put?
I think
picture of Martin Martin's on the invite.
You said maybe that you're coming. So then I got excited.
But did you see the picture?
Day off, she didn't know about it.
Did you see the picture? She wouldn't have gone anyways. Yeah. So I just saved this.
I've been really milking not getting to go to events right now during the pregnancy. I'm really enjoying being like, you know, I'm really tired or not feeling.
Every argument, she grabs her stomach and just goes like, I don't know. Like, hold on. I'm like, oh my God.
I'm like, Steven, I can't even have this conversation. You can't raise my cortisol. I was like, I can't.
And then she gossips for 48 hours.
But sometimes I genuinely don't want to. I feel my cortisol getting raised, and I'm like, I don't want to go there, and I don't want to do it.
Oh, I believe you.
Yeah, I want.
But
to
I love that you're
using.
You're like, honey, he's gonna be born like fucked up if you fight with me. Right now.
I always.
Yeah. Or
always.
She.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I say was,
they.
So we had to. They. at the last second, we had to throw this wedding, and so apparently we always thought that we sent the invite out on the 3rd. And then got married on the 5th. But apparently we sent it out on July 4th, which is also cool that friends, like, even open up an invite on July 4th when people are usually blacked out. You know
what I
mean? And all these people came.
They thought it was a party, though.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, were you guys getting married?
Kind of party.
So, like, we've been celebrating the 5th improperly for 6 years. And then finally this year, we just went through. We had one, you know, Facebook will say, on this day 10 years ago.
Yeah, whatever. The memories fucked me up.
And so I looked at it, and I'm like, babe, we're celebrating the wrong anniversary.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what that says about our marriage. Like, if there's, like, an overlying theme to that, you know what I mean, that we're just doing it wrong. I don't know. But it's
that you're funny. So in love, the details don't
so
matter.
So you were.
Spending it.
So you, she got pregnant then when you had been married for a year, if I'm doing the math correctly?
We got married July 6, 2014. And then I knocked her up Valentine's Day night, 2015. So we were married about 6 months.
How do you know the night that it happened?
Well, I know the night that it happened because, I mean, that was the craziest time of my life. Like, one thing that I'm so excited for with you is that you're sober for this.
Mm. Yeah. Dude, I'm very grateful for that.
You are, like, you're sober. You're not in rehab like I was when my wife was pregnant.
Wow.
Andy Dick's not your roommate in rehab. We're very public.
God.
I'm not outing him. Like, we've gone on podcasts and admitted this. So we were roommates in a Malibu rehab, and Nicole had a restraining order on me. I couldn't even see her at this time. And so there was a lot of bad things that were surrounding this event because I had a big meltdown. But, like, that whole time in my life, like, I look back and I'm like, dude, like, so when I heard you were pregnant, I'm like, oh, my God, he's, like, sober in a pregnant husband. Mm-hmm. Like, you get to really do this.
And yeah.
It's, dude, I was in rehab. Andy Dick's my roommate. There's a temporary restraining order, and we're closing escrow on a home, and I'm losing jobs. Like, people are just going, well, if you need help, we're just going to, like, kind of take a break from you. Like, agents and certain people. It was a very scary time in my life.
You know? What did you were just partying?
What did I do to get a
happen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That you feel comfortable sharing?
I've talked about this many times. Okay. You know, I've made my... the people that I harmed, you know, was my wife and my stepkids. So I they know I'm sorry. So I don't tell the story like it was. I don't think it's funny, but it's I had a big business opportunity. I started this this philanthropic sort of company that was called Give Stars, and the idea was it was me and some, three other guys that started it. We were going to have these celebrity greeting cards. It kind of became Cameo when you think about it. Celebrity greeting cards where you could go to the website, choose George Clooney, choose whoever, and say, I want George Clooney to, you know, wish my mom happy Mother's Day on Mother's Day. And it was going to be inside of a card. It was a brick and mortar business. It wasn't going to be like a digital thing.
Is this the original Cameo?
It is, basically. And so we had everybody, Justin Timberlake, we had Fergie, we had Aaron Paul, we had all these people involved, and Katy Perry, and I could go down the list. Actually, I think Aaron Rodgers was part of it too. And so it fell apart. We did this huge money raise, and it didn't go how it was supposed to go. And, like, I don't think you understand. I sunk. Like, my stepkids used to joke, like, if they ever wanted to do something, they're like, well, we can't. Skylar's probably on one of his five-hour Give Stars conference calls. Like, it took over my life trying to start this company. The thing crumbled. Then Nicole miscarried, not because of that, but just because of nature. Mm-hmm. So Nicole miscarries, that thing crumbles, and we got through the longest, most arduous, most awful, most vile custody battle anyone's ever been through. These three things were not setting well with a guy that was using cocaine, Molly, pills.
Yeah.
So I had a meltdown. I kicked my stepkids out of the house, kicked my wife out of the house, and I'm glad that I did that because I look back, it's one of the only proud moments I have is that something in my brain, I was like, you're going to melt down tonight. And I just knew I needed nobody there. Now, what I did after that, it doesn't show that I had any instincts. I broke almost everything in the house. I was blacked out on all kinds of stuff. I don't remember any of it. My wife comes home the next morning to grab a dance outfit for one of my kids and for school. And when she got to the door, she's pounding on the door, and then she finally finds a key outside the house, starts to open the door. I wake up and I see everything. I don't remember any of this. I don't remember snapping her favorite fiddly fig tree in half. I don't remember. I literally pulled out court documents and took a shit on them.
Oh my God.
I know. Wow. I don't remember any. I took her salon chair and I cut up the chair, like, you know, I broke things. I got my daughter a Katy Perry autograph where she got to go backstage and meet her once, and I ripped that into 100 pieces. I don't remember any of this.
Was it a manic episode?
1,000%. 1,000%. You know, like, I know you guys were very close with Brody, too, so, like, all those times that he had meltdowns and stuff, and, he tried to make jokes about them. Like, when I heard him tell stories like that, I was like, well, those aren't funny, so I don't know how he's finding humor. You know, I mean, he was a hero of mine because he was able to look back and, like, laugh about these things. Like, they're not very funny to me. You know what I mean? Like, mine, I've never found a way to, like, pitch it to Comedy Central. Like, hey, here's yeah. my story. He was a genius like that. But what happened was, I had this huge meltdown. I get to the door, and I open the door, and she's like, I'm here to get, our daughter's stuff. And she looks everywhere. And she goes, oh, my God. She goes, you've done it. You've gone too far. She grabs her phone. I'm panicking. I can tell she's about to call 911, so she does. And I just grab the phone out of her hand, and they heard me grab the phone. Oh. That's technically – you're not allowed to grab someone's phone out of their hand. That is like a terroristic-type threat. And so when they got there, they took that very seriously. Yeah. And so I'm in cuffs, and the next thing you know, they put me in a night in the clink, and she was just like, I had to protect myself and the kids, and so she got a temporary restraining order on me. But what's crazy is – she had miscarried about, I want to say, 3 weeks before that night. So when looking back, Nicole always says you weren't really drinking about the business. You weren't really drinking about the long custody battle. You were drinking because, like, we lost a child, you know. And so, it was a very heavy experience. But then after that took place, and she puts me in a facility, the craziest part about the story, and I love this. I know it sounds like I'm talking about something very negative, a miscarriage while I'm talking, but
this is a part of the conversation, you know?
So you won't believe, I mean, this, like, to this day, I get goosebumps looking back at this. You know, she got pregnant in 2011 with me, not on purpose, lost a child, got pregnant at the top of, and she knows that I'm public about this, so she's giving me the blessing to talk about this. We lost a child in 11, and then we lost that child right then at the top of 15. And what's crazy is they say, don't try and have kids for at least, like, you know, they're like, your body's probably not going to work. If you had a miscarriage, it's going to be like a good 3 to 4 months. This is what's crazy. This is like, I've never had a problem finding a higher power. I know a lot of people that get in the program are like, I wasn't raised with God. I don't believe in God. Fuck this book. Fuck Bible. I've never been that way. I've had so many moments in my life where I'm like, that's God right there. All of a sudden, I'm in a rehab facility and I get served a restraining order in jail, and then I go to the rehab facility. So now she has a temporary restraining order on me. I can't go near her. I can't go near my stepkids. I've lost my mind. I'm literally sitting in a Malibu rehab trying to figure out what I'm going to do next. There's several people not taking my call because they're hearing bits and pieces. They don't, like, a lot of people didn't know why I melted down. It's not like you just go to Facebook and go, we miscarried today. So people don't know what I'm, like, there's maybe 4 people in my life that know about it. And so the next thing you know, I remembered something. I swear to God this happened. None of this is made up. The first date I ever had with Nicole was at the Hollywood Improv, and Ben Glebe was in the hallway, and he was like, who's this? I go, I'm going to marry this girl. We're on our first date. Aww. I go, I'm going to marry this girl. He's like, oh, and she goes, oh, are you? I go, yeah. And she goes, well, then you better plan on having 2 kids. I'm like, well, yeah, you come with 2 kids. No, she goes, no, like 2 more kids. I go, oh, you just always know and you want to have 2 more kids? And she goes, well, yeah, I'm destined to have twins. I just know it. And I go,
wow.
And I go, really? I go, really? And she goes, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I go, why, do you have twins in your family? And she goes, I do. She goes, my dad's a twin. And then on my mom's side, there were 2 broods of twins. She had 11 siblings, Susie. She's no longer with us, but she had 11 siblings. And in that sibling brood, there were 2 sets of twins. And so I looked at her and I said, well, how do you know you're going to have twins? She goes, I've just always known. And I go, oh, so it's hereditary. And she goes, no. She goes, I'm going to have identical twins. I go, well, what does that have to do with anything? She goes, the only kind of twins that is hereditary is fraternal twins. So if you have fraternal twins in your family, there's a chance you could have fraternal twins too. Identical twins is just freaking nature. It doesn't, like, it's just, there's no, it's not in the genes. It just happens when it happens. The egg splits or it doesn't. And so I sat down in this rehab, and I had all these felons, these guys that had just got out of prison. And I remember I turned to one of them. His name was Phil. And I go, "Hey, man," I go, "do you pray?" He goes, "Not really." I'm like, "Would you pray with me right now?" And he goes, "Sure." I go, "Me and my wife were trying for like the week leading up to the night of my meltdown again." He goes, "Didn't you say she just miscarried?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "I don't know much about women's bodies, but like, I doubt she's going to be pregnant, bro. Like, if she just miscarried." I'm like, "Jesus, can you, thanks, Doogie Howser. Can you just fucking pray with me?" So we get down on our knees. I'll never forget this. I prayed with this guy, and it was just like a movie scene. Like, I know how to pray because I've been praying my whole life. But he was like, "God, Jesus, the whole thing. But I pray that Skylar's wife is pregnant." I asked him to do that, and I pray that it's twins. And then I go, "Thank you." And then I asked them if they would do that every night with me. And for like 30 nights straight, all these guys that don't pray, we'd be like, "Dude, we pray in time." They'd get so excited. And we'd sit in this circle and we'd pray. And I'd go, "I just pray that it's twins." And I was doing that because I knew that if she was pregnant with twins, she would give me another chance because she felt like she was destined. And so when I got my first day pass to go to, my uncle is sober in Culver City. He was my sober companion. He left for me to go to the ultrasound. And we get to the ultrasound. My best friend's wife runs this ultrasound place. So it's like this family affair. We invite all these people. There's like 18, 20 people in the room. And the next thing you know, I just remember that they had like a little mouse. You know, you've been ultrasounding. Yeah. They're just going, and they go, "Oh, she said to her mom, like, it was my best friend's wife. It's a mom and daughter operation. They own the place. It's called Beyond the Stork." And they literally just looking at it, and they're going, and she goes, "Wait, did you see that?" She goes, "Yeah, I saw it." And she goes again, and she goes, "Mom, I think it's two." She goes, "You guys are having twins." The whole room, bro, it was like, I was like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna be like," and then Nicole looked at me. She goes, "I'll never forget this." She goes, "You're a lucky boy," because she knew inside that like that I wanted it so bad. I even told her the way, I go, "It's gonna be twins." She goes, "It's not gonna be twins. Don't get my head." I go, "You're the one said it on a first date." She's like, "I said that like on a first date. We were drinking. Like, I'm not gonna have twins. Like, you don't get what you want in life." And then 10 minutes after saying that to me, it's fucking twins, and it's identical, which means it's not hereditary. It was a gift from God.
Wow.
Aww. I'm sorry. That was a long story. But you know,
that was a beautiful story. Yeah. Oh, my God. I had chills the whole time you were telling that.
That was amazing.
It's a pretty crazy story.
So then what happens from there? Did you stay in treatment for a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the part of the deal was she's like, she was, just because it's twins, she goes, "I'm giving you another chance, but you ain't going nowhere yet." And I'm like, "You got it." You know? I still was a lot like, you know, I felt like Luke in the Dagobah system. Are you a Star Wars guy or not?
I just watched it for the first time.
Are you serious?
The trilogy.
The original
months,
trilogy.
Yeah, the original trilogy 2 months ago. It was great.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
That's
it
your first time seeing it?
Yeah, I don't like space.
You love UFOs.
I love UFOs.
You know you're in space right now, right?
But they're...
I never thought of that.
Technically, I don't like outer space.
Okay. that's a good correction.
You know? Space that's not here.
That's a great question.
Like, I don't like ships and going to mystical, like, I watched Star Trek when I was sick, when I was a kid, and I was just like, ugh, I had that car sick feeling, and I was just like, dude, this is just sucks. They're just waiting in a ship, like it just, and then I just like linked Star Trek with Star Wars, and I was just like, space is boring, dude.
I don't like Star Trek at all.
Yeah, I don't like stars and galaxies, but I love aliens and UFOs, but I believe they're interdimensional, so like, I'm into...
You're okay, all right, okay, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I don't feel like you have to like travel to Iraq to see them, but it just... I like travel.
Wait,
like,
for a second, I thought you meant Iraq. Yeah, Iraq. Yeah, no. And I'm like,
whoa,
Iraq. Bro.
I heard it
Iraq.
Too.
I'm like, we're going to get canceled.
No.
You know those aliens in the Middle East.
No. Iraq.
Space rock.
Yeah. Iraq.
You got to be careful in today's world.
Yeah, we always are. But yeah, I just watched it. I just had a wild hair.
Well, then you might get the reference I was trying to make. She asked what happened next and did I stay. I was trying to say, like, you know, remember Luke wants to help Han and Leia, and like Yoda's like, it's too early, you can't leave yet, you know. Mm-hmm. He's in the Dagobah system. So but the quote I always say is like, then I did leave the Dagobah system too soon. I was so worried about her, and I'll never forget, there's this guy Mark M in the program. He's still a really good friend of mine and a mentor to me and like a brother, and he said, he goes, "Skyler, you got to go in here." And I go, "Oh, like I am here." He's like, no, in here." He's like, "It's an inside job. Happiness, sobriety, it's an inside job." He's like, "You're focusing on Nicole and those twins." And he said, I know you think God loves you more than anybody, but he loves you the same. He goes, "You're not special. You are just one of many people that have existed and do exist." And he said, those babies are coming whether you go to the next ultrasound or not. He goes, they're either coming or they're not. He's like, they're either going to make it or they're not. And you going
out. All right, someone say a similar thing to me, like, because I was, like, worried about the baby. And it's like, that's out of your hands.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, talk about the fucking
I went to the ER at 5 weeks because
she went
had
to the ER 3 days in a row.
No, just once.
You went multiple times.
No, I went to the doctor, and then, oh, well, that was to get a COVID test. Because I had
I got
food poisoning when I was 5 weeks, and my temperature was like 101, and it just shot to 101 in like minutes out of nowhere.
Wow.
Because I had eaten sushi, and I ate what was a safe sushi choice, but I don't know what happened, but I ended up getting sick either way. And then I went into a really bad physical panic attack because I was freaking myself out.
Because you're overthinking it.
My whole body started shutting down. And I went to the ER. he goes, call 911. I dare you. And I go, okay, fine.
I was working.
I've never done.
And I go, call
911.
And then I called her again
to.
5 minutes later. She's like, the ambulances are coming. I'm like, oh, she really did.
I go.
Just stretcher, brand new place.
I scared your wife to call 911.
I was like, yeah, call 911 if it's that big.
And I go, okay. And then I go, the sirens are coming. I hear them. And
you realize a pregnant woman is only at all times there looking just for like validation. Like if they're like, I just feel like I want pickles inside of like a roast beef, like outer shell. And like, yeah, go ahead. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to make it. Like, that's,
yeah.
That's
so pregnant. The doctor that night who we spoke to was like, you say it because I forgot.
He was like, he's like, I don't know if you believe in God or whatever. He's like, I'm telling you this as a doctor. He goes, it is out of your hands.
There's
it is
nothing you can do.
He was like telling us, and he goes, your prescription is to do TM twice a day.
Wow.
And she's not taking her medicine, by the way. I take her medicine.
I do TM like once a day. That's better than nothing.
When I go, hey, do you want to do TM with me at night? You're like, ugh, all right.
And then sometimes I'm not in the mood. I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
I wish
it wasn't called TM. I always think it's TMJ.
Lockjaw.
Yeah, like lockjaw.
Transcendental meditation.
You
want to
do some lockjaw with me?
Well, just any. The doctor didn't officially say TM. She said she suggested TM without saying it. She said, I want you to meditate twice a day for 20 minutes. And I said, oh, I do TM. And she's like, oh, okay, cool.
So the timeline is knocked up Valentine's night. And then I'm in a Malibu rehab through like.
How do you know it was Valentine's Day night, though? That was
because
conception.
You can go back to like, because sometimes you're like,
well,
oh,
did she have an
you know what I mean?
That's what I want to know. Yeah.
We can't find the exact day. We
but
have
that,
an
that
idea
stand-up show
of the
that
week.
That stand up show that we did outdoors. We
sometimes you just do,
night.
You know, when you just do one more
supernova.
Like
supernova.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You just do one more pump. And you're like, whoa, I just entered a new part of her vagina. I didn't know that room was in there.
Yes.
Like, you're like, this is not a 4-bedroom mansion. It's apparently 5.
It's like the Indiana Jones ride when the cannonball's coming toward you and it goes,
exactly.
So I remember going, like, oh, that one might have worked. You know what I mean? Like just kind of, you know, and it did. So she's knocked up that night. I'm in rehab in Malibu through most of March. I bailed out of that rehab. Because I got kind of scared of the guy that was praying with me ended up kind of like
praying on
me. He was like, now you have to pray for me.
He would stare at me while I slept. I'd wake up and he'd still be staring at me like, what is going on?
I had a guy.
He didn't like me.
My roommate in rehab, he got like some kind of stimulus check, or it was his tax refund. He went and bought night vision goggles and would watch me. He would just put them on at night. And just stare at me, and he would watch me sleep with night vision goggles. But what are you know when you're rehab? What are you gonna do? I didn't want to rat on him and be like, this guy's night vision goggles. He wouldn't say he was like, oh, I could see everything in this room, and then I'd go to sleep, and I would just feel.
It's a weird
vision.
Place.
Yeah, it's a weird.
You're like cut off from reality. It's weird.
Yeah.
When
it's disorienting.
I was 5150'd, my roommate just stood and stared at me. And I just put
You're in the 5150 club?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. And I just put my head under the blanket because I was so afraid.
Aw.
Jay Moore has a joke that he's been doing lately because, he went to rehab. Again, he's very public about this. And so.
Nice guy.
Doing jokes.
I met him at your show. Nice guy.
He's great. And so he goes, he's like, yeah, I was just in rehab. And I had this Latino roommate. And he's a pretty tough guy. He's like, and lights out at 11. They have a hard rule. We don't have our phones. Lights out. And you can get up and go to the bathroom, but that's it. And he goes, I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, he goes, hey, yo, homie, Jay. And he's like, yeah. He's like, it's me, Felipe. And he's like, I know. I didn't think at 11 p.m. to swap out the attics. Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And he's like, listen, man, if you hear like a, I just want you to know, I'm not beating my meat. I'm taking my, I like to use lotion on my hands at night. So I, you know, I'm not so dry and cracked in the morning. And he goes, okay, cool. and then he goes, 5 minutes later, I go, hey, Felipe, if you hear, I am beating off.
That's good. Joke.
So that's you great. Ended up leaving because the guy was creepy.
That, yes, that's why I left. And then I quickly got, a pregnant woman gives you messages very quickly. Mm. You know, like she very much let me know, like, you, if you don't get it back in treatment, like, she's like, I might not even go through with this. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
Oh shit. Like, so when you get that message, you know what I mean? So I found another place to go to. And I got in that place. And then after a few weeks, they started to kind of be a little more liberal about letting me go out because I was doing well. You know,
like acclimate you back into society. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
And so there was an undateable rap party. So this would have been like second season of that NBC show, you know, with Rick Glassman, D'Elia, everybody. John DeWalt was like writer on it and stuff, Brent Morin. And so I go to this rap party. And it was, they had shot with Ed Sheeran. It was like this cool, magical night. Like, Ed Sheeran's there. It's a fun party. It's on the stage. They got, like, drinks everywhere. But I wasn't even tempted. I was very proud of myself. And you'll definitely relate to this. Are you ever just, do you just want to make sure that your phone is, like, beyond charge throughout, like, in case she needs you?
Yeah.
Like, and aren't you even worried, like, if you go do someone else's podcast and, like, your phone's off for an hour, aren't you, like, just because she's pregnant?
I do think about it a lot.
You do, babe?
Yeah, of course I do.
I didn't know that.
Of course. I knew that you'd know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm always worried. I'm like, okay, like, I watch you when you sleep. I make sure you sleep on your side so it doesn't suffocate the baby.
Well, he puts lotion on his hands while you're sleeping. Yeah. He's not beating his meat.
He keeps going, you went on your back. Go back on your side. Because you're supposed to sleep on your side.
On her side, else it suffocates the baby. And I'm like, you're suffocating the baby.
And I'm like, I want to lay on my back for 5 minutes. He goes, oh, you want to suffocate the baby for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And he goes, get back on your side. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I care. Yeah.
So I remember being at this. You guys are adorable. So I remember.
I feel like she thinks I don't care. She's like, shocked that I care.
Well, he also says, don't talk to me for 3 hours. I'm at the coffee shop. So then I'm like, oh, you're worrying about me during those 3 hours?
Yeah. No.
I just want to know.
Chelsea thinks because I live my own life and I need a couple hours a day to get work done. She like has inner child stuff that's unworked on. And she's
thank you for the diagnosis.
Yeah. It's just something that I've been reading a lot lately. So if I say, hey, I need to go take care of business, Chelsea thinks like, you're leaving me. You don't love me.
I don't think that.
I see it in your
eyes.
No,
I'm just like bringing back tacos.
Every time I go, I'm
like.
Well,
maybe you want her to think that and you project that.
Yeah, I know. No, I don't feel that way. I'm fine.
I could see her at 8 years old every time I leave the door. Where are you going?
I never was like that with my family.
To Starbucks.
I left the house. They were like, where are you going?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to get drunk and take my friends out. I'm not Allie. I wasn't that kid.
Who's Allie?
My girlfriend, who is an only child who was left alone all the time.
Whoa.
What if I just knew that? Like, oh, yeah, your girlfriend that was an only child. Yeah. Like, I just knew everything about you.
I do worry about her when I'm gone.
So I'm at this rap party, and I had this feeling. Because, you know, when you're on, like, a big lot, like Warner Brothers or Sony, like, the reception in those studios
is
terrible.
Been in the lots. We know all about fucking the big
bars.
Time. Yeah.
Okay. And so I got no bars, and I just kind of got scared. I just had this weird
food everywhere. It's like the party was catered.
Yeah. You're gonna get these paternity
lyrics?
Yeah, sorry.
Is that R. Kelly?
Usually I don't go along with it.
No, usually I don't.
Yeah.
Wait, how's it going?
That song, Remixed to Ignition.
Yeah,
that was a great song, by the way.
It's great song.
There's food everywhere as if the party was catered, which is also redundant. There's food everywhere.
It just feels like some of these people, R. Kelly, Michael Jack, it feels like they made a deal with the devil. They're like, listen, I want to be the best. I want to make the best songs. And they're like, okay, we'll do that. But then they're like, but you're going to have no morals. And they're like,
no, I really
platinum
believe
albums no more. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Sacrifice. There's some weird shit out there in the industry, but yeah.
So I had this feeling, and I'm looking at my phone, and I'm just like, I got no bars. I'm like, you've been in this party like an hour and a half. You should definitely step outside. So I ducked outside, and I got reception. And I'm like refreshing my emails and make sure the texts are coming in. I'm like checking my voicemail. I got nothing. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going back inside. 15 minutes goes by. I'm like, I'm just going to check one more time. I go outside and I'm like, you know what? call her. Just call her. Then you know she's okay. She was sleeping, but I called her. Thank God I called her. I don't know if you guys know this. I call her. She picks up the phone. And she goes, hi, babe. She goes, why'd you wake me up? I'm like, well, babe, I'm at the premiere party or the rap party. I just, you know, she's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my. And she starts crying and screaming. She goes, there's blood everywhere. There's blood everywhere.
God, I can't even.
Bro, I was mortified. I literally jump in the car. I don't get off the phone with her. It's like Reservoir Dogs. Like, you're going to be okay. Like, I'm literally driving a car, speeding down Riverside from Warner Brothers all the way to Sherman Oaks. I get to the house, and it's everywhere. And at this point, I'm like, well, they're gone. They're gone. Both of them are gone. We get to the Sherman Oaks Hospital. We go to the Sherman Oaks Hospital, and when we get there, the technicians
on Van Nuys, that house,
yeah, that one, yeah. It's the worst hospital.
It looks like a shitty hospital.
Don't ever go there.
I've been to a 12-step meeting there, and I was just like, oh, this has a shitty Sarah Connor Terminator 2 psych ward.
Don't ever go there. Yeah. If you have a choice between a comic here doing a procedure on her, Steve Ranazzisi, anybody.
Yeah, I trust Steve.
Go with Steve. Yeah, I trust before. Steve. There's nothing wrong with Steve, by the way. It's just the name that came to my head.
No, I trust Steve.
Go with. Let Steve operate on Chelsea before you go to Sherman Oaks Hospital.
Oh, I'm sure he'd like to. Okay, I'm just kidding.
So then I get there. And, you know, the ultrasound technicians, they're not doctors. So, like, there's, like, a legality. They're not really allowed to read you anything they see. Mm. They take the report, and then mm-hmm. they get the doctor. Mm-hmm. This was also, like, a movie scene. I go, listen, just are there two heartbeats? That's all I need to know. And he goes, listen, he's like, it was a woman. She goes, sir, I can't read you. And I go, I know, I've heard that before. I understand that. I go, I just need you to please. And she goes, sir, I go, just tell me if they're fucking alive. I screamed it. And then she looked at me like she was going to kill me for a second. And then she just went, I see two heartbeats. Please don't tell the doctor I told you that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, my God. And I grabbed Nicole and I'm holding her. And they come in and they told us that it was just, they misdiagnosed it. They called it a
fibroids?
Fibroids.
Oh.
That's what they told me.
That's what, remember when I went to the hospital? It's like excessive uterine bleeding or something.
It's very normal, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you have that,
it's... you had
a cyst.
Yes. Thank you.
But it's so normal that they were taking something that was way bigger and calling it that and trying to get us just to go home.
Yeah.
The good thing is Nicole had a client in her chair. She's a hairstylist. And this woman just said, listen, I don't want to freak you out. She goes, but twins are, they're high risk. And everybody has had twins. They've delivered early. There's been a lot of issues. You have to be careful. She goes, I'm going to give you this piece of paper. This has a doctor named Dr. Tabish. He delivered Mariah Carey's twins, all kinds of people's twins.
Mariah Carey's twins?
Yeah.
Who else?
Jay-Z and Beyonce.
I know he would. Oh, really?
George Clooney.
I knew he would know all this.
Yeah. She had handed it to my wife, and my wife gave it to me the day she got it. This was weeks ago, and it was in my pocket. And it almost felt like, again, God again, was just like that feeling that I had to check my phone. Something just said, pull out that piece of paper. Pull out the piece of paper. I call Dr. Tabish. It has pressed 1 for an emergency. I get him on the line, and I go, Dr. Tabish, real quick, my name is Skylar Stone. I have a wife. She's pregnant with twins. And I was just at a hospital, and they said it was fibroids. He goes, where are you? I go, Sherman Oaks Hospital. He goes, come at 6 in the morning. And I go, okay. He goes, 7, make it 7. He goes, come at 7 in the morning. I've got to make sure. He goes, here's my address. And I go, okay, you got it.
His house?
No, to his, he wanted me to go
office.
To his.
All right, let's take a quick break from the episode to talk to you about Freshly Picked. This podcast is brought to you by my friends at Freshly Picked. If you're a new mom, pregnant, or have a little one at home, Freshly Picked is a brand you need to know, okay? Freshly Picked was started in 2009 by mom Susan Peterson, who stayed up late sewing baby shoes at her kitchen table. But today, it's grown beyond its famous baby shoes. Freshly Picked is committed to providing moms with a product that is both fashionable and functional. Just because you have a baby doesn't mean your diaper bag should look like it was designed for a baby. You're still a woman, too, that wants a bag that fits her lifestyle and look. So Freshly Picked's designer best-selling diaper bags contain the functionality mom needs, including a roomy interior, wipeable vegan leather, tons of pockets, and an insulated bottle holder. But from the outside, you would never know it's a diaper bag. Freshly picked bags are designed for moms by moms to look and feel like a stylish bag that any woman would want to carry, with a variety of colors and styles. So, as you all know, I'm currently pregnant. I fell in love with their Obsidian Weekender. That's the bag that I got. This bag is designed for traveling with kids, but it's like a cute black weekender bag, but I love it because it also makes an amazing hospital bag. So I can't wait to take mine to the hospital with me when it's time at the end of March. The texture looks so high-end, and it's truly an amazing travel bag that any woman would honestly want to carry around the airport. I love it. It's super cute. And just for my listeners, new customers can save 25% off on their diaper bag. Save 25% off on your new bag with promo code Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, at freshlypicked.com. That's F-R-E-S-H-L-Y-P-I-C-K-E-D.com. That is better than any discount you'll find on the website or in email. Use code Chelsea at checkout for 25% off your bag. All right, guys, I have to take a sip of water. Hold the fuck on. Okay, let's talk about baby monitors. One thing that was really important to me was being able to track my baby's sleep, but most options on the market required a wearable that you have to put on your child every time they sleep. And I didn't want to do that because you have to wash it and charge it and change the size as your baby grows. I just knew it would be too much for me to worry about, and I wanted to eliminate all of that extra stuff that you would have to do. So I researched, I found the Miku Pro Smart Baby Monitor. It tracks my baby's breathing and sleep without any wearables or physical contact needed at all. You just plug it in and you can see your baby's breathing live with 1080p video and background audio right on your phone. It's super easy. So when you rock your baby to sleep, the last thing you want to do is put a wearable on them. You know, you just want to go to sleep and then put them to sleep and you get sleep and everyone's sleeping and it's contact free. And the Miku Pro grows with the baby as well. So the Miku Pro is the only contact free sleep and breathing monitor and the only monitor to offer real-time monitoring with their local processor, crypto chip security, and custom sleep sounds and lullabies through dual speakers. The Miku Pro has super sharp 1080p HD video, night vision, crystal clear sound, and easy two-way talk. You can use the Miku app on any smartphone or tablet. And since it's Wi-Fi enabled, you can check on your baby from everywhere you are. In the apartment, outside the apartment, you could check on them. So Miku is offering a 45-day happiness guarantee, free 3-day shipping. Use code Chelsea10 for 10% off at checkout at MikuCare/Chelsea/10. That's MIKU.care/CHELSEA10. So I'm hooking you guys up with a lot of great codes. Use them and upgrade and impress your wife, your baby, your friends, your family. Thank you so much for listening. Let's get back to the episode with Skylar and Steven.
And so I go there and he's like the baby whisperer. You wait a long time. Whatever your time is, he's running about 3 hours behind. Not because he's a dick. He's the most beautiful human being I've ever met in my life. He's just so busy and takes his time with every woman. If you met him, you'd be like, Steven, I think I'm in love with this man. He's an older Pakistani. He's just like he is here. God put him here just to handle difficult pregnancies.
Wow.
I'm sure of it. And he just said, he goes, your babies are in trouble. He goes, you have, there's three ways to have twins. So imagine it like this. There's the best way to have twins is two placentas, two life sources. So each baby is underneath the life sources, and they each have their own sac. That's the best. Am I scaring you?
He's just nervous about anything.
By the way, Steven, don't forget, my babies are here. This is a good story.
They're here.
I did not mean to.
No, it's okay.
Am I freaking them out?
He does this all the time, and it's okay.
It's a beautiful. You trust me. This is God's got you, dude.
Okay.
I can stop if you want me to stop.
No, keep going.
No.
Are you sure?
We're living life in reality.
Sacks. Go life sacks.
Okay. Two placentas, two sacks, two life sources, two houses to live in. That's the best way to have twins. We didn't have twins that way. the worst way to have twins is one life source, one sack. The babies share a home. They bruise each other up. They hurt each other. Bad things happen like crazy. Luckily, we didn't have it that way either. There's a third way. The one in the middle is it's one life source and then two sacks. Okay? So that's what we had. The problem with that is this is the placenta is what gives them their food mm-hmm. and everything they need. And so TTTS, twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, is when the mechanics just didn't work out right. One baby's getting too much food. One baby's not getting enough.
Mm.
Now, back in the day, and this is the good news, Stephen, when problems arise now, they've got an answer for all of it. Back in the 70s, I don't know how people got pregnant. There's horror stories back then. Now, they know everything. They literally have a program for everything. He knew so quickly what this was. He put her on a regimen. He said, you're not moving. You're on bed rest the rest of this pregnancy.
How many months was she at this point?
She would have been,
four.
Six?
No, oh, no, God, no. She was at like two months.
Two?
For 7 months, Nicole was in bed.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did she watch a lot of movies?
I don't know what she did because I was in rehab.
Oh, my God. Wow.
You know, she could have been fucking another guy for all I know. You know, just kidding. Yeah.
You thought about it.
Of course, I thought I would beat off to it. yeah, my pregnant wife fucking someone else.
No, I did not.
Wait, did you get hard thinking of me jerking off to my wife?
Yes.
Or did you get hard thinking of her fucking another guy while she's pregnant? Got it.
Good question, and thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, because it would have changed things.
Because I was wondering.
Yeah.
No.
So I'll just get to the good parts because I don't want to freak Steven out. What happened was, now they're saying, we have to operate. We have to go in and play God. And so they led us to this guy, Dr. Schmidt. He's a beautiful human being, another amazing soul. And he works at Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Schmidt was like, I've got to go in and I've got to do this procedure. Mm-hmm. And they basically go in and they have lasers and stuff and they move all the veins around. And it's mm-hmm. almost like they're playing Sims. Mm-hmm. It's like a city in there, but instead of roads, it's veins.
Wow.
And like he goes in and he zaps them and he does these trajectories. So he evens the food distribution between the babies. Well, here's
what
happened.
It's amazing they can do that.
Well, after he pitches to me that he has to do this, he says, but you got to move quickly. And then he looked at a calendar and he goes, I haven't had to say this to someone in a long time. And he goes, and I'm really sorry about this. He said, for my son's entire life, I've been canceling every trip I've ever had on him. I've been canceling every event. I've missed everything because there's always women like your wife. I go, I'm like you. So right away, I'm like, you're giving me bad news. You're giving me bad news. He goes, it's not bad news. It's just probably not what you thought I was going to have you do. He said, I promise my son, no matter what, we plan a graduation trip because he graduated, that no matter what comes up, I won't cancel on him. He goes, you need surgery right away and I'm leaving. Everybody told me, like, Dr. Tabish is like, Dr. Schmidt's the number one. Dr. Tabish delivers babies. Dr. Schmidt's the one that does the surgeries. And so Dr. Tabish is like, you want him. He's the number one doctor. I don't want to go number two. This isn't a Pepsi situation. I want fucking Coke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he's like, all right. He goes, but I got the number two guy. I'm like, oh, great.
Oh,
and he's in Seattle. So now I got to go back to my rehab. I go, guys, I got to go to Seattle. They're like, Skylar, you got to stay here. I'm like, shut the fuck up. I'm going to Seattle.
Yeah.
So I fucking flew to Seattle with Nicole. We go see this awesome doctor named Dr. Walker. And this, you never forget people like this. They're in your brain the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, I could tell you, like, I could draw them, and I can't even draw people. This man, he did this surgery. I'll never forget it. He's, what was his accent? South African. He goes, I can't do South African.
It's like British.
Yeah, it is. But he's like, would you like to be in the surgery? And I'm like, yeah. So he had me in there. He had a big screen up, and I watched them operate on my wife. I've never heard of a doctor letting you come in, but they just let me come in. And the way these doctors practice in school, they use grapes. You know, in grapes, you see a little vein and stuff.
Yeah.
That's how they practice by sticking these needles in and moving these things. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so he does this whole thing on the screen, shows me everything that they can possibly do. And he said surgery was a success. They checked the next day. They sent us home. And then a couple of days later, Nicole felt funny. And so we had to go to an ultrasound. And then Dr. Tabashian goes, okay, this happens only once in a while. I'm like, anything else you got for me? You want to test me out while I'm in rehab anymore? He goes, this only happens once in a while. He goes, he missed one vein. I go, what's wrong with missing one vein? What could that possibly, one vein? He goes, well, what can happen is it can switch the babies. So they didn't have names at that time. They were baby A and baby B. That's what they were. Carter was baby A and Hudson was baby B. We didn't have their names, but that's who they ended up being. And I go, he goes, so baby A, he goes, oh, what were the terms? They're called donor and receiver. Mm. So the receiver is the baby getting too much.
All yeah. Right,
so he's getting too much food. And if he gets too much, eventually he's just going to get too big and then it's over.
Oh.
And then the baby that's the donor is the one giving it away, isn't getting enough. They switched places. Now the other one was the donor, the other one was the receiver. He goes, it never happens. I'm like, yeah, that's my life. And he goes, we got to do another surgery.
Got to go back to Seattle?
No. So Dr. Schmidt, he was available now.
How was his trip with his son? Did you hear that?
Such a comic question. Yeah, yeah. You're like, what kind of tent were they rocking? Like, did they see any bears?
Really, yeah. Bonnie.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about the movie of the guy who saves everybody else's kids but loses his own connection to his son because of, you know, I already saw the movie. He's like, Dad, you put everybody else together, but you're breaking me.
Yeah,
you
know? I'm in rehab.
Yeah, 100%.
Andy Dick's next to me like, hey, buddy, you want a health shake? Yeah. Like, you
know. Yeah, that's the movie.
God, we should write this.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, he goes, we got to do another one. So he had to do a risky surgery. He operates different. He's like, you can't come in the room. I'm like, hey, man.
Yeah, that's
after the guy that brought me in the room, maybe that's what distracted him.
Yeah, that's what number like, one. Yeah. Number one's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got this.
Sounds great. You know what I mean? Like,
Number two's let you hang, you know? Hey, like, hang, dude. Look what I could do. Like,
I'll never
looking for that
stuff.
Validation they never got.
Exactly.
Like, look, see what I can do? Like, look at how, look, I'm good, right? I'm good, right?
An etch-a-sketch.
Yeah, the other guy's like, hey, go do your thing. I'll be back, you know? This guy's like, this is cool, right? Like, still got that little, can I just, when I was pitching that show and I had a meltdown, I was talking to you. I was at, God, what was my Kaiser. And still there. Love it. And he goes, oh, man. I go, I'm here for a fucking, I'm having a breakdown. And he goes, man. So if you sell this show, you're going to have really good health insurance. You're going to be at Cedars with a really good doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what are you? You know, he kept saying that to me. He kept saying, like, you're going to be with the really good doctor.
Well,
man,
being
don't worry.
I advertise on Groupon.
Like, yeah, he was telling me that. I'm like, you don't tell me that. Yeah. Like, you'll tell me. But sorry. So Schmite goes, so, kicks you out of the room.
Schmite's like, by the way, it's fucking hot in this room.
I know. I'm going to open the door.
Oh, no, you don't have to. If it's good, bad for sound, don't worry about it. Just like, I'm pregnant, I'll do what I want.
Keep going.
By the way, did you ever have a pregnancy fetish, Steve?
I worked at Hustler for a long time, and so I went up and down. There was a pregnancy magazine, I think.
Yeah, of course there is.
Yeah, I've jacked off to it a couple times.
Yeah.
But did you ever want to fuck pregnant women?
I mean, I've probably wanted to do
or pregnant
everything.
Chelsea?
Are you scared to fuck her because you're worried about the
no,
baby?
No, he's not afraid to fuck her.
No, I'm not. I'm never afraid to stick my dick in some puss.
No, in general, I know that. But
you say it feels different?
It feels tighter.
Well, it's being shoved together. Yeah. The walls are, you know?
Not that it doesn't feel
do like
hey, another Star Wars reference. It's like you're in the trash compactor and the walls are closing.
Oh, my. It all goes back to Star Wars.
Do you prefer
Wars.
Pregnant Chelsea for sex or non-pregnant?
Well, I haven't had a lot of sex with pregnant Chelsea, so let me test it out a few more times. We've fucked about twice in the last 6 months.
Twice?
But...
Steve, you're lying.
Okay.
Let me explain something to you.
That's a lie.
If Steve says you've had sex in the last 6 months, then
it's ten.
I promise you that's the number.
No, it's not.
Dudes, no.
Skylar, no, it's
we're
not
having a lot of sex.
Dudes, no.
Steven, that's not the number, though.
How many times do you think we've had sex since you've been pregnant?
Probably like 6 or 7.
So 6 or 7, says Chelsea. How long have you been pregnant for?
5 months.
5 months.
I was
so
sick the
month?
Whole first trimester.
So I'm having sex once a month.
Bro, you can't talk that way.
Okay.
Okay, but it's funny though.
Yeah. I was sick and throwing up. I don't want to.
Totally.
I don't want a dick in me.
Yeah, she's already throwing
for
up.
For 3 months, I was
but what
so
the,
sick.
Are you into that too? Are you into like throwing up on cock and stuff? Or?
Yeah, I'm gonna do a good time, Scott.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do a good time.
You ever been to 9monthslater.com?
Wow, you're deep. 9 months later, no,
it's not even a website. It probably is
a pregnant girl. No, that wasn't my thing. A pregnant fetish, but I think Chelsea looks hot no matter what.
But my boobs are bigger.
Your boobs are bigger. You already had big boobs. No, Chelsea looks great. I would just like to stop looking at the pie and I'd like a taste.
Didn't I say we're having sex today after the podcast?
Well, you said that 3 times over the last 3 weeks, and it hasn't happened. So little Steven inside doesn't want to get promised to go to Disneyland anymore. I said, hey, bud, she's not thinking with the right mind right now. Let's just do us and go to Starbucks and work on
our stuff. You know what he wants? He wants you to just throw him in the car and say, I'm not going to tell you where we're going. And then you pull up and you see Disneyland.
You see Disneyland. You're like, wow, yeah. I didn't even know I was in
Anaheim.
Okay,
so I'll stop talking and start acting.
Just don't tell me hey, let's maybe have sex at 6 p.m. It's just like, either fuck me or don't.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
Dude, there was a very adorable submissive thing that happened there.
I saw it. I don't want to give it too much attention. Because then she'll make a show of that and I won't get pussy.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
So, I don't remember where I was at.
Schmidt.
The guy who doesn't let you come in and see. The guy who.
So, this one was successful? The last one?
Yes.
Week,
the best part about that one was, so I'm in the waiting room and he comes to me and he's like, I got to go. You know, they got to go and clean and put all the stuff on, you know. And he goes, all right, Skylar. He was like, just try and calm down. Because, I mean, dude, I'm about 9 weeks sober for the first time. Like, this is before my relapse. This is my first time trying sobriety. I don't have a sponsor yet. I'm faking my way through, like, meetings. Just, like, I'm trying to get – the first time I got sober, I feel like I was just trying to kind of get the heat off me so I could come back to my life. You know what I mean? That's why I needed that relapse. To go, oh, no, I need to be sober.
Yeah.
So – but I don't know that yet. And again, we're closing escrow on a home. I'm losing jobs. It's not a good situation. There's no money in the account. I'm losing my mind. So he could sense that all the time. Actually, the funny story real quick about Dr. Tabish, the first guy. I remember one time, once the babies came, he goes, what do you do anyway? And I go, I'm a comedian. He goes, what? I'm like, comedian. He's like, what are you talking about? You're not funny at all. Yeah, all you ever do is
always
cry.
They always say that. You just cry all the time. Oh, you're so serious. You're so earnest.
You're a comedian. You're always so serious. Yeah. It's like, dude, professional boxers don't go around smashing civilians in the face.
Oh,
like,
Mike Tyson kind of did, but yeah.
Some of them did, you know? But yeah, it's like, what do you think? I didn't know you were a dentist. I never saw you operating on teeth.
Like,
so did she get off bed rest after the surgery?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
No. Good God, no. No, so then now we're in the waiting room, and now Dr. Schmidt says, try and relax a little bit. And I go, okay. He goes, all right, I'm going to go in there. I go, kill it. And he goes, what? And I go, oh, it's a comedian term. He goes, doesn't really apply here. I'm like, no, don't.
Oh,
but I swear to God that happened, dude.
Oh, yeah.
But that's our incentive. Every time I see him, he goes, kill it.
That's funny.
And so he goes.
Not right now.
So what?
No, she was grabbing my.
I wasn't grabbing you.
Oh. Okay.
What?
No, I'm just having fun. It's a podcast. I thought we were at the comedy store.
Yeah, you know, a lot of things have happened down here.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, we go home. I go back to the rehab. You know, 2 surgeries have happened. And then finally Nicole calls me for a third time.
Oh.
And Nicole says to me, she goes, I'm having insane abdominal pressure. Something's going on. I'm like, here it is. It's finally going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm just the whole meltdown was, I was never meant to be with Nicole. This is my punishment for ripping up that Katy Perry picture. Like, I think I'm doomed.
I think the same thing. Something I did.
Yeah. It's karma. My God is a vengeful God. Like,
these
thoughts.
That's the core belief.
And so the next thing you know, her uterus was giving way. It was whatever they call it, collapsing. Or I've buried a lot of this. So they had to go in and stitch up her uterus. So she had a third surgery.
Poor thing.
So they stitch it up. And then at this point, we come back to the house. I go back to rehab. And then as if that wasn't enough, there was a... I'll leave this up to the audience's sort of... I'm not going to get too into some of these details because it'll just start something with certain people. Let's just put it this way. There are some people in my house that... are related to another person, and this person and I don't get along. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. And there was just something where there was an incident on our front lawn on a day where it shouldn't have been happening. And even though we called the cops and said, you got to get them off my lawn, my wife is in a very dangerous pregnancy. And you know what's interesting about life sometimes? You ever just had your phone record something that you didn't mean for it to record?
No, that's a fear. It's a fear.
Well,
it just happened?
Sometimes for me, so there's an old-ass voicemail that I still have, by the way. So it's right there.
That's
it's, good.
Yeah, Skyler's talking about the voice.
There we go. Well, this is, okay, this is the day I first tried to get sober. This is Mark Maron calling me, wishing me, like, telling me, like, leaving a voicemail saying, I heard you trying to get sober. And aww. It's a funny, sweet voicemail, so I kept it. You know, but then this is my wife on September 12th, 2015. I had somehow accidentally called her. And, bro, I sound like Liam Neeson in Taken. Like, I literally said, I said to the cops, I go, you need to tell this person outside to leave. If you don't, I'm telling you right now, I will take this to the news. I will take this to social media. If my wife goes in early delivery, if anything bad happens, I go, I will have your, I threaten these two cops, mm-hmm. basically. But in not in, like, physical, just, yeah. like, I will, like you're, I'm freaked out right now. And so my wife went in her panic attack and goes in early delivery. So next thing you know.
How far along was she?
We're at.
Seven.
Eight.
We're at, 32 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So babies.
So not severely.
Well, no, that's severely.
It is?
Babies need to go to, like, 40 is normal. So, yeah. So this is this is 2 months early.
Okay.
So we get to the hospital, and I'll never forget this. It's the only time I've threatened God, and he let me get away with it. I don't think I'll ever threaten him again. Mm-hmm. We get there, and I'm literally, like, this whole thing, there was this toxic environment outside that causes her panic, and we end up, you know, getting all the way to the hospital. And they had to do a transfer to a special hospital because one thing I never told you guys is another thing they noticed because of the TTTS was both of our sons had heart conditions. One had a coarctation and one had pulmonary stenosis. So they had to see a baby cardiologist in the womb like mm-hmm. every week. So, Stephen, I feel like one of the reasons I wanted to tell you the story is like, you know, you've set up a life for yourself that's so different than the life that I had for myself when I got her pregnant. You are succeeding at so many things, life, your career, you're a hustler, you're an entrepreneur, you do all these things, you're a comic, you've got this business you run, you're in such a better place than I was. Mm-hmm. So I know it freaked you out when I started this story, and part of you was like, what are you doing telling me this crazy story? But I remember on the way here, I'm like, I want you to know that, like, one of the things you got to do is just soak up this time. She's never going to be pregnant for the first time again.
Aww.
It's never going to happen again. You guys might do it again, but this is different. This one's like.
The first one's special.
This is just aww. Like, it's special. So,
and she'll always know that.
Yeah. She'll rub it in your face. And so, where was that? What the hell did I do?
You're bringing it home.
See, it's ADHD.
You're bringing it home because you were saying, Steve and I brought all this on you. I know it was to scare you, but it's for this is the lesson now.
Yeah, this
you're
is the lesson.
You're bringing
was there a lesson, Skylar?
Yeah.
No, so
the lesson is life is a big mystery, dude. Oh, you never know what's going to happen. God's vengeful.
No, so I threatened. So I'm literally in the hospital, and I remember coming outside of the room because I thought she was going to deliver. And I said, I swear to God, I said to him, I'm like, I will, if she goes early and it doesn't go the right way, I'm going to go kill people. I'm going to kill people. I'm going to turn into a lunatic. I'm going to become
falling
a criminal.
Down.
Father's just going to say that.
No. He's going to go order a hamburger and he's like, that's funny. That's not the hamburger on the menu. Yeah. And that's going to start.
Me and my wife, Catherine, Father
oh,
Kirk.
Wow.
That's great. That's good.
Oh, so, my God.
Can you do more of that Wait, character?
That's Michael Douglas.
Michael
yeah.
Douglas. my father, Kirk Douglas.
Wait, we
just
love,
had his 63rd stroke.
I just like a burger.
You I know, just like a burger.
I love Michael. I love 90s.
We love Douglas.
Douglas.
Oh, dude.
What's the one
game.
That we love? No,
the
what's Disclosure?
I love
have
the
we
game.
Seen Disclosure together?
No, want to watch it tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Watch A Perfect Murder. Have you seen that?
Yeah. I've seen A Perfect Murder.
I've seen The Game. David Fincher's third movie?
I love,
yes.
I love
Do you know who David Fincher is?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah.
Don't say of course like you know who everybody is.
Yeah. Okay? No, he
I don't know.
You have not earned that.
Okay, so you were cursing.
I curse at God. I tell him.
You're going to kill people if this doesn't go right.
I mean, like, I go,
I've met you.
I will never follow you again. I will this I go this is all I want is these babies to make it.
Eesh.
And so I remember they said so Dr. Tabish we told him what had happened and he goes okay he goes well it sounds like you got a lot going on out there because he's like you know he knew I was in he's like, you're in rehab and you got this other thing that's happening too and he just said he goes so I'll tell you what he goes I'm ordering a hospital bed rest your wife cannot leave here so he goes listen there are babies you know, that come before 34 weeks, but you want to have your baby at 34 weeks or after. He said that, like, that is your goal. He goes, if you want to pop them out that day, go ahead, but please don't have these babies before 34 weeks. And I'm like, mm-hmm. all right, let's do it. And so I leave. Now I'm leaving the Dagobah system really early because now wifey's not home. I've got two stepkids to take care of. Mm. I've got a house that we're moving into. We just closed escrow 2 days after that. So next thing you know, we're moving in a new home. I'm literally in charge of a move. I'm piss testing in Malibu. I'm coming back. I'm coming to visit her. It was a fucking nightmare.
That's a lot.
And so next thing you know, I'll never forget it. She made it to 34 weeks in one day. She called me one morning, and it was just so casual how she did this. She was, "Hi, babe." She goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Just dropped the kids off at school. I was going to go Dunkin' Donuts or something. I don't know. I got a lot to do today." She goes, "Well, you might want to come." Should he just come? She goes, "Yeah, babe, I guess we're having babies today." I go, "What? What are you talking about?" She goes, you need to come. They said you need to come here right now. I go, "Is everything okay?" She goes, No. She goes, they say, like, there's some things happening, and it's time to happen. And so,
by the way, after you, really quick, I have to get a donut after this. After he
doesn't
that
sound good?
I have it's to have a donut.
A donut sounds delicious. Okay.
What are you gonna get? What
kind of? I'm not gonna get any. Like I'm doing donuts. No carb right now, but I would get.
I like glazed donuts.
I like jelly filled.
I don't know that.
Love like jelly filled.
So it's
glazed jelly filled.
I just want plain glazed. So it's 34 weeks.
34 weeks. One day, I go down there, and she goes. It was like another comment. This time I didn't say kill it, but now Dr. Tavish, he's about to go clean up, and he goes, "We're going to do C-section." He goes, "It's time." I go, "Are they going to be okay?" He goes, "Relax." Hmm. He didn't answer me. He just said, "Relax." And so I relaxed. They invited me in. I sat there with her. I live streamed it for a minute, just like before they
some
started.
Brody shit.
Yeah.
The start of Manic episode number two.
Well, no, you have to understand something. The amount of people, there was a hashtag created by someone called Operation Save Carter and Hudson.
Aww.
The community around I remember one time there was a woman in Columbia who said there's 200 of us that get together every Thursday and we pray for Carter and Hudson.
Oh my
How
God.
Many?
200 people that would sit in a circle and just pray for Carter.
It worked.
Oh my God.
I was going to initially, one of the questions I wanted to ask was, what did you do to make Nicole comfortable?
Okay.
While she during labor, or I guess during the C-section, but then you started by saying you were live streaming. So I can't. Because if Stephen was in the corner live streaming and I was freaking out, like trying,
I was flirting
like
with
pushing,
a nurse. I'm like, yeah, you know, I do stand
you
up.
Know,
at that point, when you have an emergency C-section and they gave you the epidural, I don't even think she understood what I was doing.
Okay.
You know
do I
mean?
Get high from that? I'm excited for my freebie.
You get a free lapse.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to get a free lapse for sure, you know? Yeah. And if there's any stitching up they have to do, you're probably going home with the Vicodin too. So you're going to need to, you know, talk to your sponsor about that. So, you know.
Okay.
Not that you're in a program or anything.
It's fine. No, I'm very public about my recovery.
I'm just totally kidding. I know you are.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of your posts. Okay. One thing you got to do once the baby comes, I used to like, there were these things that I would do. I remember one time I made this huge dinner for Nicole. The babies are maybe like 3 months old, let's call it. And like, you know, she didn't seem that happy during the dinner. And then I bought a movie like on iTunes. And I'm like, this is a movie you've always talked about seeing. And she just didn't seem that excited about it. And then like, I'm massaging her. She didn't seem that excited about
postpartum?
Yeah.
No. You ready for this? I go, babe, is there something wrong? She goes, "This is all so sweet." She goes, "Thank you so much." She goes, "You know what I just really want?" I go, "What?" She goes, "I just want to sleep. Can I just drive down the street and sleep in my car?" And I go,
"Oh my God.
Yes, babe." I go, "Why don't you can sleep in our bed?" She goes, "I just want to sleep. I want no noise. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to see." And she literally, I'm not kidding. Like, I mean, we have Find My Friend. Like, she literally, I could see on my phone, like, where she is. She's right down the street. And
she went down the street.
She wasn't
kidding.
Car?
She
wasn't kidding.
She just rolled her seat back and she was sleeping. And I came by there and I just realized, I mean, it was a big lesson for me. I'm like, holy cow, dude. Motherhood is as much about sleep as anything. She's got to get her sleep. And if she doesn't have that, because the baby...
Because she's breastfeeding, right?
She was breastfeeding, okay. But even if you're not...
For two.
Because everyone talks about how it's like, you sleep 3 hours a night at first.
It's going to be nuts. It's going to be nuts.
I'm on Seroquel, so I'll just knock out. See you in
the
morning.
And I'll just be up breastfeeding so tired. He's going to have to make me meals.
How is Seroquel not a drug? I don't understand. Like, no, like a drug. Yeah. Like, how is it not like on the Xanax list of like, we can't take this?
You know, because it's not fun. It's not fun.
I guess.
I take it. It's not fun.
You're having fun.
Have you had it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. It just, I take it. I take.
I abused it. They took
really?
It away from me. Oh, yeah.
It just knocks me out.
Bro, I'll abuse fucking like. Fish oils, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm fucking just, I'll snort fish oil. Like,
I know,
you
know
I'm
the same way.
Yeah, I'm fucking, anyway, sleep. You gotta get her sleep.
What are the dad tips on how to support the wife? I know you prepared.
Okay, how to support the wife?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, Steven is such a sensitive guy and such a, like, I just really think you're so equipped for this and you just don't even, you won't even know until, like, I don't know. You ever just watch a superhero movie and, like, Batman's just got a fucking, he's got a thing.
I think
for
I'll be
everything?
Fine. Yeah, I'll be fine.
You have the belt.
I already knew it. I
yeah,
know it.
You're going to just fuck, you're going to open up and, like, Spider-Man, you're like, I didn't know I had webs.
Yeah,
like,
it's I feel just, that. Like, you're gonna, I agree with that. Yeah. I, you know, it's so funny. Even when I was using drugs out of it, I was like, I know I'm going to be a good dad. It's something I knew I'm going to be. I just know it. I just know I'm going to be a good dad.
You can't even, it doesn't even line up with, like, just whether or not.
Logic.
Someone, like, yeah, there's a lot of. A lot
I have that, like, I have that gene or whatever it yeah. is. I have that intuition. I don't know. I'll just be a good dad.
Yeah.
I was a bad brother and a bad son. And, like, when I got sober, I was just like, my sister had kids right when I got sober. And I just saw them differently. I was in a different world.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. And, like, one gets its feelings hurt. And, like, everybody else doesn't seem to see it even. You know? And I'm like, oh, what's wrong?
But you were very sensitive to it. Empathic.
I was a bully and was bullied.
Yeah.
And then once I got sober, I was like, I want to make sure that doesn't happen to anybody. So
what a great line. You were bullied and a bull. I didn't hear someone say that before.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's like something you hear at a meeting, you're like, oh, that's a good one.
So if I see kids like picking on each other or something, I'm like, hey, guys, what's going on? Like, I realize how deep those wounds could go. And so I'm very aware of that. You know, I know it's a lot of it's powerlessness, but I'm hyper aware of children's emotions.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, you need to be.
I am.
And I feel that – There's a lot of bad people that you meet, and like, but yet when you get closer to them, or like, what is bad, by the way? We're all good and bad, but you know what I mean? Like, someone might have a public perception of not being the best guy, but then you find out they're just the greatest father. That's almost all they're good at.
There was a neighbor that I had that my dad did something horrible to his property. I mean, we had this feud with this fucking neighbor, and somebody knew the neighbor, and I wanted to kill this guy. And someone's like, you know, my kid plays baseball with his kid and he's actually the coach. I'm like, so-and-so is the fucking coach. They go, world's greatest dad.
Yeah.
Heard horrible things about him in business. Horrible guy.
Worst neighbor.
Worst neighbor. Good. And I went,
yeah.
So that was just like, he's a good dad. And then I had a sponsee one time that I just couldn't stand this person. And he was a good dad. That was the one saving grace. Terrible husband, or whatever. He wasn't married, but just terrible human. Just a really a reptile of a person. But this guy loved his kid, and I just held on to that. I'm like, okay, this person's a good dad. Like it is important.
And there's even some actors that like publicly have the greatest reputation, and you find out their kids are a mess.
They're bad parents.
They're not good parents. So it doesn't always line up like that. But when you know someone and you know their sensitivities, you can tell.
You can tell if someone's going to be
a good
dad or not.
I've pegged it pretty well before. Pretty well.
So I'm going
to
be all right.
You know when you get a puppy and you're like new to having a puppy and the puppy pees on the ground and you know you're not supposed to get mad at the puppy because it's a puppy.
Do you get out and lick it up and then?
No, but you do, yeah. And you're like, no, and you get like mad.
She hits our dog.
No, I don't. Stop.
Just
don't even fucking say that.
I know, I'm just
something
kidding.
Like that.
I know. That
someone's gonna clip that out and then not the rest.
No, I know.
And no, it's just, literally, yeah. That's how.
Hashtag Chelsea canceled.
All right. Yeah.
And so, you know, like when we had our dog Jagger, and when he was in his puppy phase, like we had to keep reminding ourselves, like, no, like he's a puppy. He doesn't know he's doing it, or like. You know, I worry about, or not worry, but like when you have a baby and they like do something, but there's like a natural adjustment that's like, oh, they're a baby.
It's so
different, right?
Dude, I feel bad for dogs that they don't look like us. Although some people do look like their dogs.
Yeah.
There's a whole website I've seen on that too. I jerked off to that. everything.
It's called puppy love.
But they're, your baby looks like you.
Aww.
And I don't mean to make it like a vanity thing, but like there's something about holding something where you're like, oh, this baby is me and I am this baby.
It's a replica.
It's like a whole thing. It's just like, I mean, Carter and Hudson look so much like me. Like, I have two miniature Skylars running around my house. So it's like, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I get frustrated with them and I've lost it on them for sure. But like, you know, you'll save the losing it on them for like Todd, you're in childhood years. You're not going to lose it on a baby.
No, yeah that makes sense. Yeah. But
I'm sure there's monsters that do, but like, you know,
When you get upset when they're toddlers, is there a lot of like pausing you have to do and be like,
oh my God.
One of the biggest gifts of this program that we were in is just pause when agitated. Mm-hmm. I had to do that with kids all the time.
Yeah.
You have to. There was a, their kindergarten teacher's aide is a sweet woman, and she, the other day I'd heard something that Carter and Hudson had done something. I don't remember what it was, but the point is I got there and I go, oh, and I heard they just weren't that great earlier. She goes, what are you talking about? I just heard from someone. She's like, no, don't ever look at it like that. I go, what do you mean? I thought it was so simple and beautiful. She goes, they're kindergartners. She goes, they can't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. I go, what do you mean? She goes, they don't know how to do anything. She goes, so when they do something wrong, you just, all you do is correct it. That's okay. You didn't know. Like, you don't say, like, that's bad. Don't you dare.
Yeah.
I mean, look, is there ever, like, if one of them spit on one of them in public, are you ever going to say that's bad? Don't do that. You're being bad. Sure. But most things, like, if they spill a drink, if they didn't know they couldn't put, like, a drink on the couch and that the soft end wasn't going to hold it, like,
aww,
they're fucking
aww,
kids.
That's so true. Yeah.
They just
they're, like,
don't know.
Everything.
You know?
Yeah.
Steven?
What?
So they don't know.
We're talking about something that's not even happening yet.
It's like
she's
he got
trying
nervous.
To get me in trouble for something that's like...
You just fast-forwarded 7 months and you're like, Steven, don't yell at the baby right now.
I know. It was like that scene in like Back to the Future when he's like, if a kid ever lights a rug on fire 50 years from now...
I love that.
Yeah.
I love
don't
that
get
movie.
Him in trouble. It's best, one of the best movies.
It's my
of
boy's
all time.
Favorite movie. They can't stop watching
it. It holds up. So it holds
oh,
up
they
to
love
that
it.
Generation. Wow.
Let me tell you something.
The foreshadowing in the movie, it's perfect.
Here's
that and Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure. Perfect.
You're
going to
love streaming. Well, your kids are going to get convinced that movies from your generation are theirs.
Oh, interesting.
When you let them, okay, when Kylie and Jaden, the stepkids, when they watched Full House, this was probably about...
Love that show as a kid.
10 years ago. They binged Full House on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh my gosh, and there's one scene. Hey, Skylar, you guys see this one scene? Oh, Skylar, there's another scene. I go, oh, no, I remember that scene. They're like, yeah, okay. I go, no, I remember that scene. They're like, you didn't watch any of it with us. I'm like, I've seen every episode of Full House. They're like, when would you have had time? It just dropped on Netflix like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's so
funny.
I'm like,
there's new releases and there's recently added. Do you understand the difference? And they go, no. I'm like, new releases means it's a new movie. Recently added, it could just be Lawrence of Arabia being added to Netflix.
That's the next on my – Lawrence of Arabia is next on my list.
It's such a good movie.
Yeah, that's next.
It's a sweeping drama. Yeah. But like when kids find out that it's – they like it a little less then. Because I go, that's from my generation. They're like, oh. I'm like, what? They're like, we thought it was new. We thought it was ours.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's really funny. So your babies, like the kids, they only recently found out. They're like, wait, so you watched Back to the Future when you were our age? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, huh. I'm like,
I don't like it as much.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
What else can you tell us about for the first year of just being a supportive parent?
I wrote down some stuff.
Okay.
One thing I want you to do is I want you to smell their head as often as you can.
Okay.
The baby smell goes away eventually. And when it goes away, you're like, where the fuck did that go?
Aww.
Babies have a smell. And your baby's head smell will be different than any baby's head. You'll be like...
No, I've had a lot of cousins. I know that smell.
Yeah.
It's a sweet smell.
I don't know it.
Yeah,
it's a sweet smell.
I don't know
The little
yet.
Soft spot on the head. Uh-huh. And the little
That's where you push, right? The little soft spot?
Yeah, push as hard
you
as
push?
You can.
No!
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You know, as much as
you
can.
I haven't spent time with babies.
You've been to Chuck E. Cheese, right? Yeah. Like whack-a-mole, right?
No.
There.
Yeah, it's a soft spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Soft spot.
So you smell their head. Okay.
Well, we already went over this one. Turn what you need to do once in a while is literally just say, Chelsea, give me your phone, take her phone, and put it like on airplane mode.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, even when you're given a moment to rest, you still want to check those Instagram notifications.
Yes.
You still want to check your comments. You still want to see how the podcast is
like,
doing.
No, rest.
Put
rest,
it away.
Rest, yes.
And say, Chelsea, I'm closing the door. I got the baby for tonight. Just sleep all night. And you be out by the baby.
I think she'll try to like,
do that
she won't give me private time with the baby. I think
she's not
going to,
she won't want it first, but
I
when
go
she wants it, you'll know.
Like, I want to rest, babe.
When you wake up in the morning and she asks you, you know, for a water and you accidentally hand her whatever, like a LaCroix, and she starts, I said I wanted water. You're going to know she needs some sleep.
Oh,
she's
going
to start
okay.
just crying.
Good
you know
tip.
I mean?
Good tip.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're drunk little aliens. That's all they are.
Aww.
They're little blobs.
They're little blobs, and I'm only going to say this because it doesn't happen often, but it's okay if it does. There's some people, it takes them a minute to find their connection with their baby.
Okay.
It really does. It's not necessarily going to happen to you, but I had a friend go like, you know, it honestly took like 2 months because then
I'm afraid of that. I wonder if I don't connect with it.
Oh, you will.
You will.
You will. You will. First of all, you're going to love it and want to protect it the second you have it. But like, you know, I hear some people say like, my child's my best friend, or like yeah. It might take you a second because like, like you almost got to think of it like the baby is literally like kind of like, I don't know, if you had like a plastic Ziploc bag and you started pouring water in it, it's going to take a second for like the water to get through the bag. Like the soul and the personality is like finding its way through the body. And one day the baby's just going to look at you funny. And you're like, the baby just looked at me in a way that reminds me both of my mother, my aunt, and Chelsea all at once. And like, there's going to be like this thing where you're like, we are cosmically connected. You're gonna feel this, you're gonna like Carter, weirdly enough, looks like my sister's son, and then Hudson looks like my other sister's son, even though they're twins. They both have different little things from different relatives. Aspects, mm-hmm. And it makes you go, wow, that it, like life is insane.
Wow.
It's insane. But babies, I wrote this down, babies are like an album that gets better. Like every listen, like so it's only gonna get better. Like it's like a Missy Elliott, like her first album, or like Radiohead's in Rainbows, like an album where every time you're like, oh, I never heard that part before. Mm. Oh, I never noticed how much I like track 7. Like it just gets better and better. A guy that directed me in a movie once, Sam Harper, told me this, and I'm really glad he told me this. When he told me, I'm like, why'd you tell me that? You're gonna let her down at some point. You're just going to. At some point, you're going to let her down.
Me or the baby?
You guys are both going to let down your baby.
Oh, okay.
You're going to let down your kid. And they might be so young that they don't even know that you let them down yet, but you do.
We I'm all scared. Do
it. No. It's okay. There's going to be a day where you're like, I could have been a better father that day. Mm, I could.
I see what you mean.
And it's just part of it, dude. Because it makes you so much better. Like, you ever have a week where you weren't that sober? Like, you didn't use, but you just weren't that sober.
Yeah.
And then the next week, like, Chelsea's like, what got into you? You're just, like, the perfect guy this week.
Yeah, Jimmy. Or like, oh, I was a bitch yesterday.
That's part of it. Yeah. It's just part of it. You're going to let them down at some point. Mm-hmm. Sam Harper told me that, and I was just like.
That's good advice.
Oh, that was good. I know you already heard this, but I swear to God, I'm going to say it twice. It goes by so fast. Mm-hmm. It goes by so fast. Before you know it, they're 6. And then before you know it, like Kylie turns 18 this Friday.
Wow.
So it's like, and she's already moved out. She already like has a place and everything. And we're just like, what the hell is going on? Like, it's so fast.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, I asked my brother-in-law for advice and he said the same thing. I did.
It's
I
texted so cute. Him.
And he said, one thing I wish someone, oh no, that's not it. Here it is. Sorry. He said, right here. Find joy in each season for what it is. Don't wish for the next one to arrive. Time goes by fast. Pretty soon they'll be gone and you will wish for them back.
Oh.
His daughter just went to college. That's why he's
saying that. Aww. Oh, that's cute.
And it's like, it is weird. Like,
what you have him save is don't pick up.
It says bro Brian.
Okay. Yeah.
No, he might have me save it. I'm the alcoholic. But
that's cute.
My friend Mickey. Mickey Willis, he said, I texted him too.
Aww.
He said that the way I behave in front of my boys determines their behavior.
Oh.
I said, if there's one thing you wish you could have heard that you didn't know when you started, he said that the way I behave in front of my boys determines their behavior and future far more than the DNA that I passed on to them.
Mm.
It really, and I think about that a lot. I don't know that I believe you're born an alcoholic. I think it's a lot of it's very environment. Like, and then when people are like, yeah, but when it gets passed down from generation, yeah, explain that. I'm like, very simply, a bunch of people acted in a way that they shouldn't have, and they kept doing it in front of children. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And again, that's not my parents are great parents.
Yeah.
But I had bad and good things happen to me as a kid. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. Oh, here's a good one. Don't rely on an iPad and YouTube.
Mm. Jay Larson said that. There's another,
did yeah. He? He said that?
He's like, don't do that. Don't.
He's a great parent.
Yeah.
He's a great dude.
Yeah.
And he's fucking funny. Did you ever see his Conan where he told like a long story instead of telling a bunch of jokes?
About the thing that happened, the call?
Yeah, the call.
Yeah. That was, oh my God. So good.
when I saw it, I'm like, why didn't I think to just go on a late night talk show and tell one story instead of so such a great, it's one of those moments where you're like, I'm jealous of that bit.
Yeah. But he was like, no.
So don't put them in front of an iPad. And
like, with Kylie and Jaden, we were so good about this. They did not take in too much media until they did. Mm-hmm. You know, once they're pre-teens, yeah, good luck. Mm-hmm. But I just, when Carter and Hudson came, the world changed. It got very, you know, they came in 2015 and we got really, really digital about that time in life. Mm-hmm. You know, we got really, really social media driven. We got really streaming driven. And it is such a temptation to get stuff done, to just throw on Disney Plus, Netflix, Hulu. And again, look, when it's family time, I do love sitting down with them and watching a Disney Plus movie. You know, like we just watched the new Muppets movie the other day. It's a family. It was fun. We ate popcorn, whatever. But like, it'll get so tempting to just shut them up, so to speak. And there are times in our lives where I've said to Nicole, I'm like, we're putting them in front of the TV too much. We can't do this. Like, and not like for, there was like a week where we're like, we've been really bad this week with
them.
Because dude, we got a mortgage. We got stuff.
I hear you.
It's like real life shit comes up. You know what I mean? My dad has Alzheimer's. There's things I got to deal with. You know what I mean? So, you know, yeah. Do you have any questions,
Steve?
I believe in bribing, by the way. People tell you not to bribe your kids. Fuck that shit. I bribe them all the time. We'll be at a store. I'm like, could you just please calm down? If you calm down, we'll stop at McDonald's on the way home. You'll get a Happy Meal. And they're like, can I get a Coke? I'm like, Sprite, no caffeine in it. Okay. Or choose something.
Yeah, it's cute.
Something that I saw, actually, Sam Tripoli post that I had never, I just started paying.
He has twins.
I know, I started paying attention more to the parent posts on Facebook once I got pregnant, and I stopped hating Facebook as much, and I was like, what can I learn from on honestly?
Yes.
And I noticed Sam was posting a lot of questions, so I'd always read them, and I'd read the comments, and one of them was, when you're in a restaurant and your kid has a temper tantrum, what do? You leave the restaurant?
I saw him ask that question.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting to look at because so many people had different answers. And like some people were like, you take them outside and you give them a talk. Like you ignored, like what's your take on that?
Well, think about it. Okay, so if you two got in a fight and I didn't know you at a restaurant, my first thought would be like, you guys need to fucking take this outside.
Yeah.
But that's because you're adults that can make decisions that should be in charge. I mean, even though we're alcoholics, we're not very good with our emotions, but we should be, which is why we go to a program and we're you know, progress, not perfection, right? So my point is, like, you're going, oh, God, Steven, I know it's going to affect you the most, I feel. I would go crazy in my head that everybody in the restaurant hated me.
I think you need to take the kid out of the restaurant. If people are paying to go to a restaurant, I'm the one with the problem. It shouldn't be like, hey, 80 people who all are paying money for this, who all want, you know, service and quiet. Deal with it. It's okay.
It's gray. It's not so black and white.
You take the child out.
You try a couple times.
Then you go home.
If you're successful. Well, no.
It's like one of those things like, hey, man,
you deserve to eat. If it's hot food, you deserve to eat. You are a parent. You deserve to eat.
Take it home. You want to have kids.
If you like the microwave, that's fine. But
take it home. Get it to go.
I would try twice. If they ended up doing it, you know what's great?
So that's what I'm saying. Hey, if I should.
Mothers reach over and they go, sweetie, it's like something. An older woman will go, it's okay. We've all been through it. You just eat your food. And then you're like, thank you so much.
Yeah, because you're hungry.
You're starving. But if we were on date night and I just, like, that's, and now
I think once you get there, you understand.
You're not taking your baby to the Standard Hotel. Like, you're probably going to be at a fucking family restaurant for
But what's so hard about taking it outside until it stops crying?
I'm just saying there are some nights where, like, you know.
So the whole restaurant's going to listen to a child screaming bloody murder because you're hungry.
They didn't do meltdowns a lot. You know what they did? Selfish. They did squealing. And I don't know if your baby would be a squealer or not, but Carter and Hudson were squealers. And so they, when they learned how to go, they would just go, I can't do it. But they would literally go.
But it's because they're learning how to emote, I think.
And people would laugh. But some people would look over like, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, sorry.
Yeah.
You know. Dude,
are pacifiers?
I'm going to take my kid out.
Are pacifiers?
I'll go on a walk with it.
Yeah,
I'm not bumming out 150 diners. I won't. Yeah.
Are pacifiers meant for quote unquote like if they're crying and you're putting it in their mouth, or is it for teething? Like, what are pacifiers
both.
For? Okay,
all of the above.
You like, know? If they're crying, can you just put a pacifier in their mouth? And they're
great anal plug, too. Just don't give it back to the baby.
Oh, I know. But can you just put a pacifier in their mouth if
getting
they're crying?
Canceled for that one! Yeah. Okay.
And hope that that works?
One more time, what?
Like, can you just put a pacifier in their mouth and hope that works if they're
crying? Yeah, you can try to go, shh. Oh, okay. You know, like, you know. I mean, have you ever just shut her up, like shoved it in? And,
Terrible. Steve, any questions before we wrap up?
I think that was all of them. Give me a second here.
Or any closing words?
No, that is more than enough information for me to absorb, and I'm grateful to hear it.
I have one more for you.
Yeah, okay. Please.
The final one. It's very short.
Final thoughts, like
my best friend Darren said this, and I love this. He said, "One thing I wish someone had let me know was that no one really knows how to take care of a baby until you have to, and just trust your gut and know you are enough." First thing that came to my head. Please tell your friend Steven that.
Wow. Aww. Please text that to me.
Yeah.
Please text that to me.
Because it was personal?
Yeah, as I felt it. And I want to feel
it
again.
Thank you so much, Skylar, for coming
on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So grateful. Thank you, Steve, for also joining.
Love it. Does he have anything he wants to plug?
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Speaking of pacifiers.
Your shows?
Doing live shows in L.A. When is this coming out? Do you have any idea?
24th.
24th?
Yeah.
Of this month?
Yeah, so right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so I'm at Jam in the Van. It's an outdoor venue in West L.A.
Incredible venue.
JamInTheVan.com. You've been there.
Incredible.
And we got a toy drive coming up in December, and then I'm going to be doing a big New Year's Eve show that I'm going to announce very soon. And then I just shot it. Dude, I told you I shot a Western with Nicolas Cage, right?
No. Oh, my God. Love him.
Yeah, we all do. He's a national treasure.
Oh, my God. And it is like a healthy scene. Like, it's the opening of the movie. And I'm talking almost way more than he is. It's like me and him in a scene together.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Wow. So
it's called The Old Way. So
congratulations.
How was that day?
He is the most intense person I've ever met, and that's coming from
we're
me.
Intense people.
Yeah, like you and I his energy precedes him, and then also like when he's if he was just coming down the stairs, I feel
you
like
feel
Chelsea
it?
Might go, I think Nicolas Cage is here. Like it's there's wow. a feeling Whoa. That he like has it's like a
yes.
force yeah. field around him.
Wow.
And I've worked with a lot of big actors, but this guy I was just like I never seen anything like this.
Were
in my
you
life.
Nervous?
Wow. No.
No, of course I was.
No, like, but you have that, like, I don't, you're a pro. Like,
you know what it was? I wasn't nervous about, you know, I guess I would specify this. I wasn't nervous like, oh my God, I'm in front of this cage. I was more like, don't fuck this up because you are in front of Nicolas Cage. Like, I was worried, I was more nervous like that I would just fuck something up. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Not like, I was.
I can see Skylar being like, hey, you're doing a Quentin Tarantino movie, pivotal scene, just don't fuck. I trust Skylar to nail
Thanks,
it.
Man.
Yeah, like, you don't seem like you would.
I can get in my head the way that I can about just like
anything,
oh my God.
But you. I'd be shocked if you didn't.
I end up finding a way to turn it off because I just know that time
saying.
Is money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And like, I know that people don't have time. It's like when you're running a show here, like, and like some comic comes
am
in.
Am I going
like,
to go last?
Yeah.
You think it's funny?
I'm like, bro, I don't have time for this.
It's like, bro, I don't have time to do your inner child work for you.
Yeah. You can
go to therapy.
That's his thing.
That's my new thing.
It's
the second time he's
done. I know. Yeah. Wait until you're with him all day.
Yeah.
Fucking Dr. Steven over here.
Yeah. You start growing. That's what happens. I hold you accountable.
So it's called The Old Way. It's a Western, and he's the lead in it. And it's like, it's the first time he's ever done a Western, so that's kind of cool. And then I just shot, I had a movie just premiere at Scream Fest, which is the biggest horror festival in the country. It was at Man's Chinese Theater. It's called Scream Fest, and the movie's called The Retaliators. And it's the most violent movie I've ever been in.
Wow.
And I was in Hostel 3. This is more violent than Hostel 3. It's more gory. It's more fucked up. But it's a smart horror movie. It's written by the Gere brothers, and it's got a guy from Game of Thrones named Joseph Gatt. It's got a guy from Ozark. Did you watch Ozark?
Mm-mm.
Mark Menchaca, he's on that. And it's a movie about, like, if evil comes your way, is it right to get evil back? Like, is it right to ever – it's kind of like – you ever have a meditation where, like, you watch a bad news story, and, like, you heard someone did something to a kid, let's say, or something, and you're like, oh, dude, if I got 5 minutes alone with that motherfucker, like, mm-hmm. what would you do to that guy if you could? It's a movie about someone kind of providing that as a service. Like,
wow.
If
cool.
someone did something to your wife, like, and you could have 5 minutes alone with him, would you take it, or would you take the high road?
Yeah, interesting.
It's fucked up. It's called The Retaliators. It's going to be dope. So.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Hell yeah.
Right on.
All right. Bye.
Bye.